Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me, as always, Nick Mason.
Very exciting to be here.
Big movie week.
Big movie week.
Not doing well. Big movie.
Still a big movie, though.
Still a big movie, regardless of whether it... Tron 3 was big movie.
Disagree.
They put a lot of money into it.
They did put a lot of money into it. And they put some money into this movie, Supergirl 2026.
Seems that way, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is very exciting to talk about, because honestly, I've been looking forward to this for a really long time, which is why I have opinions about it.
But see, here's the thing. Before going into this, mere minutes ago, James, you said to me that you're not sure whether you liked it or not.
No, it's not even... I'm not sure what rating I'm going to give it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Of our two meaningless ratings.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's the thing that people will remember. And it's important that I get it right and make everybody happy.
That's right. And you can change your mind in subsequent weeks.
No, I can't.
Okay, don't do it then. That, I think, is the advantage that we have over, like, back in the olden days when people...
We're much smarter than everyone else.
We're so much smarter than everybody else, because back in the day, those dumbasses who reviewed stuff for the newspaper or the radio or the TV or whatever...
What are you talking about? These dumb, dead men.
I'm talking about dumbasses. Dead dumbasses. Who only had one shot, and then their opinion was locked in forever.
Yeah, but they also thought nobody would see that ever again.
Yeah, that's true. If they were smarter, they would have an errata section. They would show back up on... You know, video hits or whatever.
Yeah.
Or recovery.
Oh, recovery.
And say, it's time for me to re-review Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 1. It's still good.
It's still a good movie, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we can just, over subsequent weeks, we can just be like, oh, change my mind.
Yeah, change my mind.
It's all right, actually.
Actually, everyone doesn't like it, and I don't like it either.
Yeah, that's right. I never liked it, actually. I never liked it.
That was my opinion all along.
That's right.
But we got some news of the week in the lead up.
That's right.
We got the announcement of 3 animated DC shows.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if you heard about these. There's some interesting choices here. One very obvious one that seems obvious, but the other two I'm like, oh, it's a crypto one. I'm like, yeah, that's inevitable. That was going to happen.
You think so?
They did like a Baby Groot show or whatever.
Oh, that's true.
It's just a thing.
Wasn't that a one-off? Baby Groot? One-off?
Yeah, no, there was like 6 or 8 episodes. My kids watched it. They liked it.
I would have thought one of the other ones was the inevitable one.
Oh, which one?
We'll get to it.
Okay, yeah. We're also going to talk about how they're not going to allow influencers into screenings of The Odyssey before it comes out.
Interesting.
I mean, also, they're worthless. They come out and they go, oh, a great time.
Yeah.
Sometimes they did. I can't tell.
Yeah. Influencers are useless. Old-timey newspaper and radio reviewers are useless.
Yep.
You've got to thread that needle.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be a couple of guys.
Just a couple of guys.
A couple of old guys.
Yep. White.
Got to be white. Gotta be white.
We don't make the rules. We just happen to fit perfectly
in that
narrow.
And we can change our opinion later.
We're allowed to do that.
Yeah.
I won't, because I'll have the correct opinion, but yeah.
Mm.
So I'm going to talk a bit about that.
I'll stop you there. I'll have the correct opinion both times. So
you'll be even more right the second.
Even more correct the second time, yeah.
We got one trailer in particular for Tom Cruise's next movie, Digger. And then we're going to talk a bit about... What am I doing? Oh, David Allison and what he thinks about the future of the DCU.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Terrific.
There's time goes by.
He's terrific.
He is terrific.
Tom. David, if you're listening, you're terrific. Which one are you again? You're the younger one.
He's the younger billionaire.
Okay.
I was going to say Tom Collings. It's Rob Collings. He edits this because I got Tom Cruise and Rob Collings confused.
And Tom Collins, which
Tom
is what
Collins.
You're currently drinking.
That's right.
You got one in each hand.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Am I not allowed to? On my own show? My own podcast?
You're allowed to.
Am I allowed to make their own rules on my own show? Jeez Louise. There's time goes below because Tom Collings puts them in there.
Terrific. The drink.
The drink, yes.
Okay.
You can skip to whatever.
I see you oftentimes.
I love you, Tom Collings.
I show up here and you're late at night and you're on your couch with your computer like, Tom Collings is making some edits. They've been putting edits. I'm like, James, no. Tom Collings is going to tell everybody in it what's what.
Just tell Tom Collings. Don't talk to me. Talk to Tom Collings. So people have asked this before. Have you ever done these episodes drunk? Never.
No.
We don't drink during them.
They wouldn't be
better.
They'd
be much worse.
They'd be much worse, yeah.
All right, let's start here, though. We've got 3 animated DC shows that were announced.
Yes.
First of which being, oh, let's talk about Crypto first.
Okay.
Well, here's the synopsis.
Yes.
When he's not hanging out with Superman or Supergirl, Crypto tags along with a gang of misfit criminal wannabes who live down the block, and they soon discover he's a ball of destructive, lovable energy, worse than any of them. And he follows them into misadventures and poorly laid plans. Crypto's pure nature slowly ends up redeeming them, whether they want to or not. What do you think of that, Mason?
He will be pissing on things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He loves doing that.
Sounds fun. Who did you say he was teaming up with again?
Criminals.
Criminals?
Criminals, Mason.
Criminals?
I'm guessing this is an animated... Yeah, it is. It's an animated series. Okay. 2D animated.
Why is he teaming up with criminals?
I don't know.
What's going on there?
He doesn't know. He's a dog.
I guess he's a dog.
Isn't he smart, though?
Ish.
He's like nearly like person smart.
If he's smart, he's mean.
Yeah, okay. You know?
If he's smart,
yeah,
and he—that's the thing, because he's smart, but he's only—he seems to only do the right thing reluctantly.
Yeah, true.
Like in the Superman movie where Superman gets beaten to within an inch of his life, he then kicks Superman in the balls before taking him to the Fortress of Solitude. So clearly, he knows.
Yeah.
Right from wrong, he's just choosing to do wrong.
Nah, I love that about him.
Yeah, me too.
That would kill a man completely if you did that to a normal person.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So there was a Crypto that Superdog series.
I remember that vaguely.
From like 2005. There was also like a Super Pets movie a couple of years ago.
That's right.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson was Crypto the Dog or whatever. I don't know if you ever saw that movie. And at the end, the post credits was Black Adam turns up with his Black Adam dog.
I remember that, yeah. Yeah.
You don't.
No, that's all I remember of that. I didn't say it, but that's all I remember. I've seen a still of that, I think.
It's cool that he got to voice all those characters, probably.
Mm.
The movie was all right. My kids didn't mind it.
Great.
Keanu Reeves was Batman and whatever. Anyway, Crypto series. There we go. Another one is Absolute Batman.
This is Absolute Batman.
Based on the Scott Snyder run, which also he is show running.
Okay,
and
great.
And artist Nick Dragotta, he's going to produce it as well.
Very cool.
This has been a huge success for DC, relaunching a new universe. They're about to bring together Absolute Justice League, and they've done Flash, Wonder Woman, Batman,
Martian Manhunter.
They done Cyborg yet?
No.
Okay.
Green Lantern,
yep, they've done some of that.
Mm. All sorts.
All sorts. So it's a universe where... What is it, where they take away like a key? Well, Darkseid made it and takes away a key component.
Yeah, Darkseid created this universe, and for reasons that I can't remember. And he's sort of taken away hope, and he's taken away what makes these characters who they are, with the expectation that they will, you know, become bloody wastrels on the street or whatever. Yeah. You know, like Bruce Wayne doesn't have any money and Superman didn't have...
Yeah, but
he's
still enormous.
Yeah. He's too big.
He should have taken away how enormous he is.
Yeah. Should have made him... 4'10".
4'10".
4'10".
Yeah. But not like a Wolverine 4'10".
No.
Like a frail 4'10".
Frail 4'10". Yeah. Frail 4'10" Batman. Yeah, so Superman doesn't have his kind of loving Earth parents, you know.
But now he's got like anarchy and stopping corporations.
That's right.
You know, so...
Yeah.
He's taking away the wrong things.
Yeah.
Make him 4'10".
That's right. And so on and so forth. But of course, they're overcoming their
Wonder Woman's thing?
She's only got one arm.
I don't think that's true, is it?
No, she's got a magic robot arm.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Batman's got his regular arm back. Did you know that?
How do you get it back?
So for people who don't know this, for a number of...
Alfred lost his hand a few years ago.
And he's dead.
He's dead in the moment, yeah.
Yeah, in the mainline Batman comics, for a while Batman only had one arm because he went to a parallel universe and somebody cut his hand off.
You didn't like it.
No, but what happened is he built... Do you remember he built that... robot called Failsafe, which was designed to stop him if he ever went bad.
Mm.
Well, that Failsafe put himself into a robot, like a robot Batman body, and then he got his own Robin, like a human Robin. And they're like, "Where do you get this Robin from?" But the Robin turned out to be a clone of Bruce Wayne.
Damn.
And then that Robin died, but he's like, "You should have one of my hands.
You can take the one that you still have."
Yeah.
Exactly. You have two right hands.
Two right hands. So now he has his hands back.
Two right hand Batman.
And probably he's a billionaire again. I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
Because for a minute he wasn't a billionaire.
Oh, my God. How did he even deal with that?
He got a really expensive apartment on the really nice end of Gotham.
Yeah, did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Must be nice.
It must be incredible to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He can easily afford it. Alone.
Yeah, I'm sure he can.
Yeah. Anyway, the for people who haven't seen it, the Absolute Batman, the comic book, it's just he's big Batman and he fights even bigger villains.
Yes, that's
it's sort of anime style, I feel like. Yeah. It's kind of, you know.
It's good. I like it.
Yeah, I think it's
from
fun.
What I've read.
Yeah.
I don't know about the release date of this one. I mean, it'd be at least 2 years away, I'd imagine, probably more.
Yeah.
No specific date yet.
Now, you were telling me earlier you want an entirely celebrity voice cast,
no,
right?
Yeah.
You said blow all the budget on celebrity voice cast.
Blow up the pokies and blow up the budget.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So who would you get? Who's the biggest celebrity who could be Batman that you know?
Real Batman.
Just the actual Batman.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's rich again, isn't he?
That's correct.
Which is good.
That's good.
Yeah.
Seth Rogen
could. Well, he was in Supergirl, wasn't he?
Yes.
He was one of those little Star Wars fellows.
There's
a few little Star Wars fellows that they've just plopped into.
Somebody's. I guess they built the wireframe, and now that asset is just available to anybody.
CGI face on that thing, I assume?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Who would I get for...
Anson Mount's voicing him. I don't know if you saw the trailer, but for Nightfall Part 1.
I didn't see the trailer. I think I saw
it. So they're doing a three-part Batman gets his back broken by Bane, but also then a lunatic takes over as Batman and starts killing people.
Correct, yes.
And he's got a blonde mullet. That was a popular comic run in the 90s. People were probably aware of, and they're animating that entire thing. Oh, they've never done Azrael, I think, in animation.
That's interesting. You would have thought they would have done it. And you're saying Anson Mount is Batman.
I believe
that's
so.
That sounds pretty good.
It looks great, honestly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's cool. But anyway, Absolute Batman is happening.
It is happening. What's the third one?
Third one is Joker Laugh Riot.
Oh.
Here we go. The series follows the Joker after Batman is murdered. Determined to uncover who killed his greatest rival, the Clown Prince of Crime launches a ruthless campaign through Gotham City's crime, a criminal underworld. What begins as a violent search for answers gradually pulls him closer to an even darker truth.
Oh.
Because what does Joker even do if he doesn't have Batman or whatever? What
probably
does he do?
More crimes.
Probably more and weirder crimes. Mm. Or sometimes he just stops. It's like, that was all why I was doing any of that. I don't know why I asked before, because these are all animated. The Krypton was animated. I guess what I meant was, is it that live action animation kind of thing?
Right.
Are they using the CGI asset of him from them?
Oh, from I see. That could work. Yeah, okay,
yeah, I don't
sure.
think they're doing that.
Though. No. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That these all sound really interesting, honestly.
Agreed.
Krypton one probably not as much. It's more aimed at kids and whatever, I assume. But
yeah.
Yeah, great. Though I know the new Caped Crusader Batman series, that season two is out soon as well.
Oh, yeah.
Zachary
because that's
Imagine
true, yeah.
of the 90s series. Which
I didn't finish the first season of that.
I got to go back to that.
What I'm excited for is if we're going to do Absolute Batman.
Are we?
We are. We must. All we right. simply must. They're going to have to do it in the Absolute Batman style because that is the Nick Dragotta art and all the concepts and stuff. If you because I think an issue that a lot of DC animated stuff has is they sort of they flatten it out to that DC house style.
Right, yeah.
Which I don't think is particularly interesting,
I agree.
Really. It's sort of, New 52. It feels sort of generic. But
the pseudo 3D, 2D.
Yeah, but Absolute Batman has that sort of, it's got that super exaggerated look.
Yeah.
And I think that's part and parcel
like that
with it.
It's almost like that 90s Spawn Todd McFarlane
For sure, yeah.
Thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Loving all that.
Yeah, so they got to do that. They can't flatten it out.
I mean, why the such a, that's like a huge appeal of that comic is that it's so different. Mm. So if they did it just... regular.
That got, would be really that, funny, though.
Yeah, it would be. He's got that ridiculous Batmobile, which is just a big dump truck or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's like a construction yard dump truck. Yeah.
Yeah. Love all of that.
It's one of those big trucks you see.
That's right. And then his mates are all the villains or whatever.
Yeah. And the Joker, well, he's different.
He's different. He's a lizard or a snake or something, isn't he?
No, he is, because they all are. They're all lizards.
Lizards
and, they're all giant lizards and snakes and stuff. But he is essentially who Bruce Wayne is in the real universe, so he's, incredibly rich and well-connected and incredibly skilled and blah, 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 but, and he never laughs, except when he's an evil lizard or snake or whatever.
He's laughing too
much. He's laughing too much. He's saving them up. He's saving up those laughs.
That's annoying.
He's saving up those giggles.
I don't like that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Should call him the Giggler.
They should call him Mr. Giggles.
Yes.
Cool. Anyway, great stuff, probably. Who knows?
Who knows?
We might not even watch it. Who knows?
We might not even watch
I remember being so excited for the Caped Crusader and then I just haven't watched it.
Yeah, I watched a couple and I'm like, no, this doesn't grab me yet. I'll get to it eventually.
Yep.
And then I didn't.
Yeah. This one's via THR, though. An article where it says the top headline in it is, it's a show of strength worthy of Odysseus.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Is he supposed to be very strong?
Very strong.
Is he?
So strong.
But he's like a guy, right? He's not like mythologically, supernaturally strong, is he?
Well, according to the Hollywood Reporter,
yeah.
a bunch of just illiterate dumbasses.
You called them turds once.
I did call, yeah. Yeah, I did, yeah. I called them illiterate turds.
Universal has decided to skip having word of mouth, a.k.a. influencer screenings for Christopher Nolan's The Odyssey.
Sounds like they're afraid.
Does seem like that. Yeah, instead, after the film's global premiere screening in London on July 6th, the film will begin screening for film critics.
Uh-huh.
This bucks the trends of studios getting ahead of professional reviews by inviting fan site bloggers and influencers to see major releases in advance and letting them post, often highly enthusiastic, mini reviews on social media.
Why would you want enthusiasm?
Yeah, and they always are mostly enthusiastic.
It's just them. It's usually them just photos on the red. It's a vlog and it's photos on the red carpet, and then they've got a novelty popcorn bucket, which is Odysseus's head.
Yeah,
with popcorn in it.
Yeah,
and then they're like, "Loved it.
I loved it. It was good.
It's good.
It's actually really good."
But was it though?
Yeah, we don't know.
We don't know.
I was gonna because I've got a note here that says, "Does this even help?" Like when they. These media screenings, not media screenings, sorry. I feel like critic screenings do, if you follow a particular critic or whatever and you like them, then that can help. But I don't think this stuff helps at all. I think it might just create a little bit of buzz. But most people are just like, who know what this is are like, well, I don't believe you. Even if it's true,
yeah,
I can't take your word on this.
Also, I wonder if some of the stuff in the Odyssey, I wonder if some people will be like, this is kind of hokey in a cringe kind of way. And that's just from a kind of word of mouth influencer perspective. Like, there's going to be big men in this.
Big men?
There's going to be a big Cyclops man.
Big one-eyed Cyclops.
And I gotta imagine that's being done in some sort of force perspective way. And I think, like, perhaps Jason and the Argonauts.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if people are going to be like, that's silly. That's silly.
I hope it looks silly.
That's silly what you've done there.
I really hope it does look silly.
Me too.
Well, speaking of this week for Caravan of Garbage, we're starting by looking at three movies that inspired Christopher Nolan for The Odyssey.
That's right.
And up first is Jason and the Argonauts. Mm,
from the 1960 whatever.
That's right, 63. And then the week after that is Troy. Mm. And then third week, who knows?
Mystery movie.
But it's one that Christopher Nolan loves, we know that.
That's right.
So, of course, it's early at BigSandwich.co.
I love this movie. Direct quote from him. I love beep.
That's right.
Of beep.
And patreon.com/MrSundayMovies. It's all there. Also, thanks to Rob Collings as well. We've started up YouTube membership. So there's early videos.
Is he related to Tom Collings?
Yeah, he's Tom Collings. They both invented different drinks. You're not familiar with the Rob Collings? It's not very good.
That's a shame.
Yeah, I think it's celery juice and vodka. And cinnamon, I think.
So it's a breakfast drink.
I don't know about that, mate. So you're going to have to speak to Rob or Tom Collings about this. But
sounds breakfasty.
That's what you think breakfast is. Fine. But, yeah, so you can sign up for YouTube membership and, again, early videos. And it's all the stuff that is already on Patreon, but we're just kind of rolling it out on a different platform.
Mm.
Do whatever.
Rolling it out.
If you want. Oh, there's also a live membership if you just want early videos. It's just like on YouTube, it's like $2 if you just want early videos.
And if you don't want anything, you don't have to subscribe.
You don't have to do
anything. If you don't want anything, you don't have to even be on the internet.
Just close your eyes and go la, 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 la.
If you're just like, oh, I don't even like material possessions and capitalism and stuff.
Yeah.
All right. All right, mate. All right, you've achieved some sort of oneness with the universe. Great. Good on you.
Yeah, but you're just going to...
Good on you.
You're going to look at your phone once and your whole mind is going to collapse.
That's right. You're going to be like... You're going to wake up in the middle of the night and you're going to be like, there'll be no harm in looking at my phone.
What time
is
it?
For just 1 second. I've got to gamble online. Let's go. Let's put on some multis. Let's put all my pay on a multi, you'll say.
That's what you'll say.
Yep.
And
I say, ha-ha.
Trailers ahoy, Mason.
Honk-tingling.
We got the one this week, really, even though we talked about that Batman one.
Mm-hmm.
It's for Digger.
Digger.
Which is Alejandro...
Iñárritu,
who people would know from Birdman, mm-hmm. The Revenant.
Oh, yes.
And he's doing Tom Cruise's latest.
Did he win an Oscar for The Revenant, or was it just Leonardo DiCaprio?
Sleeping in the corpse of an ox or whatever he decided
to do. Sure.
That's a good question.
Because I think that was the year where people were like, DiCaprio deserves an Oscar, but we didn't. We shafted him multiple years in a row. Let's just give it to him
given
for whatever.
Given the one slept in or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, he won Best Director.
Good for him.
For that. That's good. Three Oscars. And also, so DiCaprio,
yep.
Best Director and Best Cinematography.
Yeah, I like Birdman a lot.
Mm.
Some people say pretentious, but I didn't think it was. I thought it was just interesting.
I thought it was interesting how Michael Keaton, he basically skewered, took a lens.
Yes.
Took a swipe at the character of Batman by being a Birdman.
That's right.
And then he just came back and did Batman again in a horrible movie.
And Spider-Man.
And he was also in Spider-Man. He was a different kind of Birdman in Spider-Man.
That's
that
a different
correct.
Kind of Birdman, isn't
yeah.
it? Yeah.
So what's interesting about this trailer is that...
So I saw this prior to Supergirl trailer.
It's 90% just clips of Tom Cruise.
Yeah, and at the end of the trailer, it's like all these clips provided by...
Yeah.
They would have had to license them out. This would have been an expensive
Tom
trailer.
Tom Cruise could have just rung around.
He could have just rung around.
I don't think it would have...
No, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. But also, like...
But yeah, just the clips from all his previous
watching
movies.
Those guys, this guy's filmography is like, it's phenomenal.
Agreed.
Like, we all know he's a weird lunatic.
Absolutely we do.
And he has problems.
Yes.
But, like... You forget that he's just like this incredible talent. And you don't forget. I guess people don't.
And also it's amazing that...
Just him, because I think Mission Impossible movies have just been the last 8 years.
But it's fascinating that he's never won anything for any of these.
Yeah, good.
Like he's never... Yeah. But they've never given him an Oscar.
Because then he'd stop. He'd turn to dust.
Oh, that's, I guess he would stop. He'd be like, I've achieved it. And he would just be at the podium. And he would turn to dust holding the Oscar and the Oscar would just stay floating in the air. He'd be like, what? And they'd have to shut the building down forever.
I would love it if just like a 1960s style alien in like a silver tinfoil suit just walks on just takes his hand and then walks him off stage, and then we just never see him again.
Absolutely, yeah.
And the Oscar's floating.
The Oscar is floating.
You can do the thing that you said.
Thank
also.
You. I like that also. Yeah. Yeah.
So
it's just a bit of string.
Yeah.
It's movie magic.
It is.
Yeah. Bit of fishing wire.
Yeah. So this movie, I can give you a synopsis because it doesn't tell you much in the trailer.
No, because this is Tom Cruise makeup heavy mode, a la Tropic Thunder.
Exactly. Digger Rockwell is a powerful and boastful oil baron whose company sparks an environmental catastrophe. Threats include a deadly glacier named Judy and a potential nuclear escalation. Facing the end of the world, he goes on a chaotic, ego-driven mission to resolve the crisis he created and position himself as humanity's ultimate hero.
That sounds fun.
It does sound fun. Mm. A bad guy maybe trying to do a good thing, but maybe he's just doing bad stuff. I don't know.
Are we looking at parallels to kind of like an alternate reality Elon Musk or something like that? Or
like where a rich person does a good thing.
A rich person does a good thing.
It could be that, but also like maybe, you know, is he doing, yeah, it says ego-driven or whatever, so he's probably doing it for his own reasons.
Correct,
maybe
yes.
He's doing more harm than good.
Maybe.
Ultimately, but I'm very interested in this.
Yeah.
When is this out? It must be next year, right?
Yeah.
I'm glad he's stopped doing Mission Impossible movies for a minute. I know he's done some little things like it's this year, it's in October. Mm. I know he's done some little things like in between, like smaller projects, but he's due for something like this.
Absolutely.
I think people have forgotten that he also is a phenomenal actor.
Here's the thing also, this is maybe the question I was leading to before, is has he never won an Oscar because Hollywood's like, well, he gets all the box office results.
Don't you think he has enough?
Well,
he had three wives. Isn't that enough?
Yeah, exactly. But or are they like, or are people in Hollywood like, in real life, he's kind of off-putting. We won't vote for him because
we don't like him.
Because everybody you speak to about who's met Tom Cruise or has interacted with Tom Cruise, like any normal person who meets Tom Cruise is like, it was like he and I were the only people in the room.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, he's infinitely rich.
It's like being hit with a laser.
It's like being hit with a laser. It's like he really cared about me and kind of, you know, we you'd think he was a Hollywood whatever, but he was really focused and whatever. Mm. But maybe if you interact with him for a long enough period, you're like, I don't like this.
It would be really intense, I'd imagine.
Yeah. Yeah.
He did have three wives and they all got divorced when they were 33.
Do you think that's
strange?
Sounds like a significant number in his life for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. He also did that. Didn't he do that? He's done some great lines in his life. Because on the set of Top Gun Maverick, Miles Teller, he was around the plane so much he got jet fuel in his blood. Do you remember that? And he went to Tom Cruise and he said, he went to the doctor and they were like, oh, you've got traces of jet fuel. And he went to Tom Cruise, and he went, hey, Tom Cruise, I went to the doctor, and it turns out I have jet fuel in my blood. And Tom Cruise was like, yeah, I was born with it, kid.
No, but I have a serious medical condition. Yeah, me too. I was born with it.
That's right. It's called success. It's in my blood. It's the jet fuel to stardom, Miles Teller, which you should know about.
That's so funny. Someone's like, I've got a serious medical condition. Yeah, me too, and it's cool.
That's right.
I was born with that, and I got it already. Cool. Yeah. I made it cool. I did it before you.
Yeah. I saw Emily Blunt's Hot Ones recently. She had another. She had some great Tom Cruise.
Was that from when she was doing Alien Time?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alien Day.
Alien Day.
It's Alien Day, everybody. Turn the news on. It's Alien Day.
The news has saved us all.
Finally.
Finally.
This last bit of news is by THR. Supergirl producer Lars P. Winther.
What are you getting paid by the story for
THR? I try to be, yeah.
Yeah, okay, great.
I accept any and all money from anybody. David Allison.
Oh, yes.
Spoke about David Allison, who, of course, David Allison, who is head of Paramount, his dad's a billionaire, and his friends with Trump or whatever, and they're sucking up all the media.
I reckon if your dad's a billionaire, you're probably, like, you're also a billionaire, right? Because, like, that's effectively infinite
money,
right?
Absolutely, it is infinite money, yeah. Spoke about the DC future, and David Allison apparently said he's pretty open about what we're doing. We do have a slate, and a lot of it, obviously, Clayface is already coming out.
How does he know about Clayface?
No, this is the, I don't know. Yeah. This is what the producer was saying. This is what Lars P. Winther is saying.
Lars P. Winther.
Clayface is coming out. We already have a Lanterns TV show on those things. The train's left the station. So we're good. He's a big fan.
For now.
He's been great with us.
For now.
He's giving us kind of what we want.
For now.
So far, everything's good.
For now.
Yeah. So there you go. I mean, all this stuff is in motion, of course.
Yeah.
He's not going to come in and be like, as soon as this is over, I'm going to throw you into a bin. And look, also, David Allison does.
Because as soon as this is over, he's going to get someone else to throw them into a bin.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
His dad.
Well, I mean, also, I've seen this on social media recently, some people's speculation about the current slate of DC stuff. The fact that they produced Superman really quickly and then Supergirl came out, you know, is being filmed and is done really quickly. And
yep.
Man of Tomorrow was already in production and it's, you know, probably nearly finished filming or whatever, and Clayface is on the way and whatever. People have speculated that it's because, regardless of the quality of these things and whether people enjoy them or not, and regardless of the box office returns on this, when a new regime comes in, which might happen, you know, one of these multiple acquisitions.
Snyderverse,
exactly. The new management always just cancels everything.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that isn't 99% done, and even stuff that is 99% done, the new management will cancel it because they don't want to be on the hook for something that may end up being bad from some other guy.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter if it's movies or it's urban planning or it's light bulbs or whatever.
It happens at, like, I used to work in schools.
Yeah.
It happened there all the time. You'd always see people come in and just scrap whatever the previous
Because if they release something and it's popular, the other guy did it.
Yeah.
But if they release it and it tanks, it's like, well, this is your fault for not.
You could have stopped this.
You could have stopped this, exactly. So the idea is almost always just cancel anything that isn't unstoppable right now. You cancel it and you start again. So I think the idea with James Gunn and Safran at the head of DC currently is put out everything you have plans to put out.
Yeah,
because as soon as the new guys come in, they might just dump everybody and start again.
And the other thing is, this deal isn't done yet. It's still up in the air. There's still regulatory systems.
You know what happened in Up in the Air?
What?
George Clooney fired everybody.
He did, and then he got a special badge for flying so much.
Special badge.
So it's not it'll probably happen, but it's not done yet. So why would he come in and be like, I'm going to throw all this out? Maybe he doesn't want to because that's not going to go well for – if word gets out that he's going to do that, that will destabilize everything in the deal and what it, like, there's so many wheels in motion.
And that's what happened the last time when the DCEU was sort of, you know, on the verge of being cancelled, and then everybody learned it was getting cancelled, and everybody's like,
that's why there's three different endings to The Flash.
Yeah. Three great endings.
Three good endings that all make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, speaking of the DCEU, should we review the movie we're reviewing?
Yeah.
Supergirl. 2026 coming hot off the heels of Superman 2025.
Hot stuff. The hot stuff train keeps on rolling. Or flying.
Whoa, all right.
Through space.
On a budget of 170.
On a bus. On a space bus.
That's true.
Spus.
About $170 million into this, but the rap says it needs about $300 million to break even. Deadline says $315, which you'd think is a fairly achievable amount of money.
Go on.
Potentially.
I also heard, or I read a tweet. I read a tweet with a screenshot.
I know where you're going with this and I'm ready, but go on.
Okay, the tweet said that Supergirl has come up with some sort of $100 million plus brand deal with various brands, so that has covered a lot of the production costs or something. I know they did a Timex watch that is a Supergirl cross Blondie collaboration.
Call me!
Exactly.
Mm.
Not in the movie.
No,
in the trailer.
Not. Other songs are in the movie.
Other songs are in the movie. Good songs.
So Deadline have an article on this. It says Supergirl's 100 million plus promo partner campaign, biggest ever for Warner Brothers DC Studios.
Not bad.
So what it's saying is that, so the movie, when it comes out, will have promotional partnerships with 80 plus sponsors while delivering 100 million plus in media value. And that's not counting consumer products. So it's actually, it's media value.
Media value.
It's not actually...
not real money.
Literally giving them $100 million.
Okay.
I'm not saying they're not going to make money from merch and Timex watches or whatever you're talking about.
That drink cup
that
looks how you know it looks.
That's right, exactly.
It's the wrong color.
Why'd they pick that?
That's not even the color of a trench coat.
It's really
I don't know.
Is that cup even real or is it an AI thing? I can't remember.
Might be an AI thing, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's media value.
Media value. I love media value.
Because looking in this movie, there's not actually really product placement in it.
No, except for buses.
There's buses, yeah. Big
and
bus.
And old headphones.
Yep, and sunglasses.
Sunglasses, yep. Yeah.
And drinking.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, they should have just done a series of alcohol sponsorships.
They absolutely could have.
Yeah.
So on
Space Aviation Gin. Spaviation gin.
There's shit popcorn that they have in it.
That's right.
It's literal shit popcorn.
Yeah. Bug feces popcorn. Yeah.
So the
that's media value.
It is. So the box office for this, it's lower than predicted. The US, it's 40 million.
I don't know.
I can predict
very low things.
Could you predict lower than 40 million?
Easily. 39 million.
Yeah, it might actually be.
Yes, they told you.
And about 20 to 25 million internationally. It's going to open behind Toy Story's 5 second week, which is going to hit 70 million in the US, probably more.
How's it going to do next week when Minions 5 comes out?
it's going to be
worse.
It's going to be wiped off the map. On top of that, Reception is mixed. Reviews are mixed. Mm. Yeah, it's not looking good for this movie. Which also, having seen it, like, I didn't love this, Mason.
Interesting. And I really interesting opinion you have.
I really wanted to because I love the comic this is based off.
Mm, yep.
I like the like a lot of the casting in this. I like the director and who wrote it and all of that, but I just think it doesn't.
Do you like the star of the movie, Millie Alcock? Australia's own Millie Alcock.
I
Me
do.
Too. I'd not seen her in anything before this. I know she's in House of the Dragon.
Sure.
I know she's in that show Upright.
Upright, yeah,
which is
that.
The show where Tim Minchin has to drive an upright piano across Australia.
Yes, that's right. There's two seasons of that.
Yeah.
I know she's
Why did they need to do it again? I guess he had to drive the piano back.
That's right, yeah.
Because he drove it to the wrong place. He drove it to a place they're like, we didn't want this.
Yeah.
Why'd you bring us a piano?
I thought you responded to my Facebook Marketplace ad. Well, we didn't.
We didn't. We didn't.
Yeah, she's in that video where she's talking about just living with her parents or whatever, uh-huh. if you've seen that. Anyways, you're throwing us all off track. What do you think the story was?
Oh, come on, man. All right. Mm. Okay, so Supergirl, she's a troubled lass because she, unlike Superman, she remembers that bit of Krypton that she used to live on before it was destroyed.
Mm.
And she's come to Earth and she doesn't know anybody. She doesn't like anything. And so what she does is she goes into outer space.
Yep.
She goes to solar systems with red suns because Kryptonians lose their powers under a red sun.
Mm-hmm.
And that enables her to get really drunk and forget all her troubles.
Yep.
Pack up her troubles in her old kit bag. Smile.
She doesn't forget any of her troubles.
She doesn't forget any of her troubles. Well, she should.
Yeah.
If she remembered that mnemonic that I have that I've just given her for
That's
free.
Why you don't have any troubles.
Because I pack them
that
up.
That you remember.
Oh, that's true. Anyway, but then she's out in some weird dive bar somewhere, and she meets a young lady named Ruthie whose parents were killed by Cream, the brigand Cream, Cream of the Yellow Hills, and she's like, I've got to get revenge on this guy, and she's like, you shouldn't do that, and she's like, but I'm going to.
Revenge will lead you down a dark path, et cetera, and so forth. Maybe
Absolutely.
That's the message of the
maybe
comic.
Maybe Ruthie could pack up all your troubles in your old kit bag and smile, you know?
Which is the thing I'm currently doing.
I'm doing that, and it's working fine, as far as I can remember. But then Ruthie's like, I'm going to do it anyway. And she's like, all right, well, I'm going to accompany you because also Cream, he shot my dog, Crypto, with a poison dart. Mm-hmm. And he's got the only antidote to the poison dart. So I guess we're going to have to go together and get some revenge. Also, Lobo's there.
Yeah, Lobo's there. And he plays.
It's not a spoiler because he's in the posters.
Yeah, he plays the horse from the comic.
He does play Comet the Super Horse, yes.
Yeah, who factors into the comic. Anna Nogueira wrote this. Mm-hmm. She actually wrote the version for Sasha Calle.
Oh,
when she
right,
was still Supergirl.
Uh-huh.
That was entirely scrapped.
Yep.
So, which isn't surprising.
And I think there's been so much controversy over this movie because Anna Nogueira hasn't. This is the first movie she's written that has been produced. And
she's also doing Teen Titans and
Wonder Woman.
Potentially.
Yeah, potentially. But my understanding is a couple of things. One is that she wrote a horror movie for Warner Brothers and then it ended up not happening, but they liked the script a lot.
Yeah.
That's usually what happens. If you see a writer who's like, they've never worked on anything before, but they've got a big name movie coming out or something like that, it's usually because they had some previous work that has been unproduced but people enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
She has also written some plays, I think.
Yeah.
That are, you know, about female relationships and all that sort of stuff. And Craig Gillespie, who directed this, he directed
I, Tonya,
which I think is very good, and something else that I haven't seen, I think. But,
all names that I like. But I think that, those two combined, and then I know there's been some things that James Gunn has influence over because he runs the DCU. I think some of these things that come together, like, do not work.
How interesting.
Yeah. So I want to talk about the comic for a bit. So this is by Everyman Cinema.
Uh-huh.
So
Craig, is that us? Are we Everyman
that's
Cinema?
That's us, yeah.
Wow.
So Craig Gillespie, he said this. He said, I very deliberately didn't look at Tom King's book. So there's a book called Supergirl Woman Tomorrow. We've got a video on it.
It's like a 10, 12.
8, 10 issues or whatever.
Issue. Almost everybody's read it through the collected edition.
Yeah.
So it's written by Tom King and illustrated by Bilkey Everly.
Yeah.
I thought it was Bilquis.
I thought
it was. I've learned this week, but it's Bilkey.
Okay, there you go.
And
he did Cruella.
That's
and Lars
right.
and the Real Girl.
People like Cruella. Lars and the Real Girl's good.
Cruella's pretty good.
Okay,
it's way better. He did Dumb Money as well. If you saw Dumb Money, I like Dumb Money.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Tom King is best known for he's worked mostly for Marvel and DC, and he takes an existing character, maybe a very known character, well-known character like Superman or Supergirl, or maybe less known like the Vision. Or Human Target or Adam Strange or whatever, and he writes a short-ish 8 to 10 issue storyline like a self-contained thing.
Yep. And it's like, what if they've got depression?
Exactly. It's like it's often a deconstruction
of where they have depression.
Where they have depression. And there's two, I think people offer, I would say for the most part, I like what Tom King produces. Same. There's a couple of things that I don't like. Mm-hmm. He did something called Heroes in Crisis, which was
bad depression.
Yep. It's not good. But I think there are often two reasons people don't like Tom King. One is he might take a character you're very familiar with that you like, it's your favorite character, and in this particular storyline, which is not necessarily in continuity with the rest of DC, he mischaracterizes that character, he takes him in a different direction you're not expecting. And the other reason people don't like Tom King is he was in the CIA.
Yes,
and he may have had something to do with the invasion of Iraq and millions of people have died.
Yeah.
But I mean, I would say Bilkey Everly, wonderful artist.
Phenomenal.
Also worked with him on Helen of Windhorn, which is great, which I read recently, which is really good.
I need to read that, yeah.
But the story of the comic book, which is True Grit, I think the writing is really good and the art is incredible.
The
phenomenal.
Art, it's
beautiful.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Which I want to talk about specifically in relation to this.
Yes.
But yeah, so he said, I very deliberately didn't look at Tom King's book when I first read the script. I went off Anna Noguera's script, and there was grit to that, and I really wanted to come from the character of Kara going to these different worlds and the fringes of society. I wanted to feel the poverty. I wanted to feel the crime and the dust and the texture.
Let me ask you this. Did he then read the comic book afterwards?
Yes, so he did. But before that, even he said he brought in 120 images to present to DC Studios CEO James Gunn and Peter Safran.
Were they just pages from the comic book?
Yeah, no.
Oh, and interesting.
Some of it must have been because he said he went back and read Woman of Tomorrow. And I think such a huge part of visually for a lot of this, not always, because there's some really interesting like character designs and alien stuff and puppetry and
Seth Rogen.
But it does, like, there's so much stuff in that book that is just not here visually. There's a lot of ideas that come in, like she'll catch a space bus, they do the green sun. You know, the characters
the green sun, though,
they sort of do the green
sun. We'll talk about stuff we liked in this. If we're on this currently, what I would say is my number one criticism about this movie is it is a criticism of how it's been adapted from the original story. But I would say whether or not it is an adaptation or not, it's also a criticism of the structure of this movie, how it's been scripted.
Because
I think they're the same problem ultimately, which is they have taken the episodic issue-by-issue structure of this comic, but comic books in general, any kind of issue-to-issue comic book, but they have taken the wondrous, fantastical events and set pieces of the comic book, and they've either toned them down significantly or they've taken them out entirely.
Yeah.
So what that results in is a kind of stop-start structure of this script.
And then it's intercut with like grubby bars and grubby rooms.
Just over and over again. The structure of this film essentially is Kara, Supergirl, and Ruthie are in some sort of gray or brown environment.
Yep.
They could be indoors, they could be outdoors, they could be in space, but it's definitely gray and brown. And they are set upon by some brigands or some bandits or some space pirates.
Mm-hmm.
And under normal circumstances, Kara would be easily able to defeat them using her Supergirl Kryptonian powers.
Yep.
But her powers have been nerfed somehow or immediately get nerfed at the start of the fight. Then she struggles to defeat them. Then they flee. And then she gets some or all of her powers back. And then you just repeat that four times. And then the movie ends.
Yeah.
At the fifth one, they go, that'll do. This one will stick, actually. Like, it feels very repetitive.
It does,
and I think that is not uncommon with comic books in general and also comic book movies, but they are so repetitive and there's no escalation to any of it. There's no way to know how many bandits there are or how powerful they are.
I don't mind the idea that Supergirl in the universe, like Superman often, she's not special because everybody's weird and powerful
in space,
or magic or strong
on
or whatever.
On Earth, she is incredibly powerful, but in space, maybe there's numerous
people. She's just
people
an alien, like everyone else is an alien.
Who are physically stronger than her, and she can have a fist fight with them, and that's not.
Yeah.
But it's impossible to tell. I think when you think of, at this point, an old timey meat and potatoes superhero movie like Iron Man, in the first act, Tony Stark builds his makeshift suit and he escapes the foot soldiers of the Ten Rings. And in the second act, he builds his snazzy red and gold suit and he rescues the hostages from the foot soldiers of the Ten Rings. And in the third act, he gets his arc reactor taken away, and then does he fight the foot soldiers of the Ten Rings? No, he doesn't. He fights a guy with the same powers as him, which is a problem in its own, but at least he's a bigger guy.
Yeah.
There's an escalation there. Imagine if the first Iron Man was just he fights the foot soldiers of the Ten Rings five times in a row, and furthermore, every time he fights them, they shoot him out of the sky with a missile, and every single time he's like, geez,
geez,
I should really figure out how to stop that happening. And then it just, he just keeps doing that.
Yeah.
He'd be like, this is boring.
Yeah. Iron Man would say, this is boring.
This is boring to me.
Yeah.
But you'd be like, why is this one the finale? Yeah. If, and that's the same with this. It's just like, she just fights a bunch of guys who are gray and brown in a gray and brown environment.
Yeah.
And they're all stronger than her until she gets her powers back, and then
I think it's also because it's the gray and brown environments again and again, you notice the repetition, whereas in the comics she's on a pirate ship, she's on a beach, and it's all, she's like in the cosmic atmosphere or whatever, and it looks phenomenal.
And again, from an episode to episode basis, if you really drill down into that, these kind of would be sort of repetitive.
Yes.
But because they're, like a lot of this is built on novelty, which is sort of, you know, embarrassing as comic book fans, but that you need that. You can't just go, well, I think this will stand on its own without the scene where Kara powers herself on the through the sun and becomes a flaming phoenix, or where she teams up with a super horse, or she ends up on the planet that was designed to kill Superman or whatever.
Yep.
And she has to escape it without anybody's help. You know?
And again, and they do elements of that. Mm. But you don't, you know, you get the Phoenix fire moment, but it's not really that. It's just she gets her power. She goes to the green sun planet and she just lies down for a bit. Whereas in the comic, that's a whole issue, and it's about Ruthie like protecting her on this planet until the sun goes down.
Also, I think a bunch of this got cut out.
Absolutely. 100%. There is probably like 30 minutes more in this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is disappointing. Also, the villain in this, and people have talked about this a lot. Oh, also, I like Millie Alcock. I think Eve. Eve Ridley is great Ruthie. Mm. I think all that works. I like that also, again, she's – this is a, one of the things that James Gunn said, that she's not known in the universe, because in the comic, wherever she goes, people are trying to attack her just because
she's Supergirl.
Supergirl, and and Superman has done something to them.
Yes.
Whereas here it's like people don't know her, which she wouldn't, because Superman's like 3 years old.
And
here.
She's not wearing the Supergirl
She's not wearing
suit
the Supergirl suit.
All of it.
Whatever, yeah. But they don't know Superman because he's relatively new.
Yeah.
But the villain of this, Cream. He in the comic, and you might think this sounds
Cream
worse.
Cream of the Yellow Snow.
Yeah, that's right. You might think this sounds worse.
Don't eat it.
Don't eat it. You might think this sounds worse, but in the comic, he's just a guy.
He's ginger. He's not just a guy. He's a demon.
He's not even an intergalactic space guy initially.
No, he's not. He's from a clan of brigands that are on Ruthie's planet.
And he lives just there.
Because they're not spacefaring.
Yeah.
The reason the Woman of Tomorrow takes place across the entire galaxy or whatever it is, because he and his brigands steal Supergirl's spaceship. Mm. Otherwise, they would never have been able to get off
Again,
the planet.
Again, they do sort of do that here as
but
well.
But they do a weird – we'll get into it in spoilers, I think. But there's a weird contrivance to get them to steal Supergirl's ship, which we'll talk about.
Yeah.
We'll talk about later. But
and in the comic, Cream.
Cream of the Yellow Snow.
The Yellow Snow. He becomes part of these brigands and kind of works his way up the ranks, and he learns about technology and how you would stop Supergirl, and like he has this
gadgets.
He has gadgets, and he has like a teleportation.
Novelty.
Yeah, a teleportation like orb that can send Supergirl like millions of miles away.
And I understand what is probably happening here is they're like, we got to simplify some of this.
Yeah, you.
That's in their mind is what they have
for
to
sure,
do.
But I don't really think you have to, because I think then in doing that you kind of skip over key components
in
and interesting moments.
In the Guardians of the Galaxy, there's a point where, which is a James Gunn joint,
where
a bunch of the characters just live in a giant celestial head, and nobody explains that.
No.
It's just there. You just go, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That must have a fun backstory to it.
Guess what? It doesn't.
Yeah,
not right. Yeah.
Yeah. But like they didn't go, well, let's just make it a space station because people would be confused as why it's a celestial head.
Yeah.
They just put it in. They just had faith in the audience.
Absolutely. And the villain is like, there's this element of
he's from the Eastern European region of space.
That's right. Like, he's chaotic and evil and all, what am I going to do next? But it felt really generic.
Mm.
And even the look is too much.
Mm.
And he doesn't really even say or do anything profoundly interesting.
No.
Like, there is an element of, like, all chaos and the Joker and whatever, but it doesn't...
Yeah.
I don't think it works, like, very much at all.
There's a moment where they go to a planet where it's filled with, like, it's like a female slavery planet.
Yeah.
And that's Bilky. That's the planet Bilky. Is there anything in that? That's new for the movie.
That is new. Is that odd? That is all odd and new.
Yeah.
Another new element of this is Lobo is in this, and I think that's all great and works. There's one scene in particular where he's in prison with Ruthie, and that I think that's an addition because they're like, we need to put more Lobo in this, and I think that's a good moment.
I think, you know, people have said, oh, Jason Momoa was born to play Lobo, and that's probably true, or an evil genie in a Fast and Furious movie. But does he need to be in this? No.
Not particularly.
You could even that scene.
He's fun, though.
Yeah, he's fun, but he's not relevant to the plot, really.
No.
He's in one moment, he's taking place of Comet the Superhorse.
Yeah.
He doesn't really need to. But, like, all of the scenes he's in, if he wasn't in them, they would play out exactly the same. Even the scene with Ruthie, it's nice to have that back and forth, but if he wasn't in that, that scene would still play out the same because she is the motivating power behind the scene.
Yep.
He literally just follows behind her.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. You know. I think they just wanted to have Lobo in this universe.
Yeah, for sure.
Again, that was a James Gunn
thing. It's sort of a backdoor pilot for a Lobo movie because it's like, who's Lobo? If he just showed up, people would be like, who's this?
I mean, I'd get it.
Yeah, I'd also get it. I know
they do
from
say
stuff.
Who he is as well.
Yeah, he's
an ultimate evil guy who killed his whole race or whatever.
But
I don't get the sense that he's really that evil at all.
No.
Which I guess is the point. Here's some stuff that I like. I think the action, there is some good action in this.
Mm-hmm.
There's a moment where, like, Supergirl just, like, flat. I guess we'll go into spoilers later. But there's a few flying and punching and kicking moments, which I think are good. It is often with a grey or brown backdrop.
Correct.
Which makes it less interesting. I think the suit is great.
Agreed. When she's wearing it.
Yeah, when she's wearing it, which is barely at all.
Last 15 minutes.
Also, there's a series of Krypton flashbacks in this, which I think fleshes out that.
With David Krumholtz.
David Krumholtz as Zor-El.
Zor-El.
Yep.
Krumholtz from Numbers.
Yeah.
Nummy Crummy, as I call it.
And it also confirms that Superman's dad sucks.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's like, oh, yeah, my brother is sending his son to Earth to be a god.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's the thing that they're sticking with, which, you know, whatever.
Mm.
But, so that stuff I all liked and getting... I think they get a lot of the Supergirl right in terms of, like, why she is the way she is because she witnessed the destruction of Krypton. There's a line like, Superman sees the good in people, I see the truth. But she is ultimately a good person.
And she's a good – Millie Alcock is, I think, a great
she's
presence
great.
In this. But I think should have been more cool stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Should have been more cool stuff.
Should have been more cool stuff.
Yeah, but also I think – and we'll talk about this in spoilers – like, it does deviate fairly wildly from the end of the comic. And I think it is a worse decision.
Interesting.
I think in terms of just like the point of the character and the point of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is not a direct adaptation.
Yes.
But why? I think the elements that you've changed are not better.
Yeah, right.
They're, I would say, on the whole, worse.
Yeah.
Anything that is changed.
Mm.
Yeah. That being said, if I had not read the comic, and it's kind of hard to do this.
Yeah.
I think... It's an okay movie.
Yeah.
But it for me also, this is a disappointing adaptation.
Yeah. I would say this is...
I was really looking forward to
me
this
too.
When it was announced, but...
I would say this... Are you holding a knife?
Yes.
Okay.
It's also a bottle opener.
In case my... For your Tom Collinses.
Yeah.
In case my opinion differs from yours.
That's
you're going to bottle open me. it's best movie ever, but probably on... the same level as like The Mandalorian versus Groglet was the best movie ever. Like
it's pretty
fun and there's some good elements to it. You know, I liked with Mandalorian versus Groglet, I liked the stop motion and I liked the fun little adventure that Groglet goes on when Mandalorian's asleep.
Makes a mud hut
and all that sort of stuff. Like that's a lot of that was pretty fun. It's a movie that I think if you're in the mood for it, it will be enjoyable.
It's pretty short. It's no post credits.
There's no, that's true.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about what was supposed to be the post-credits. Superman pops up and
that's
David
true.
Corenswet's great.
I think the scenes between Millie Alcock and David Corenswet are very good as well. I think those are enjoyable.
Yeah. He's incredible. Mm. What a great choice for Superman. Exactly.
And they're, of course, going to be...
she's going to be in Man of Tomorrow.
She's going to be in Man of Tomorrow a significant amount, which I think is a good call.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. I remember when this was announced, though, between this and Superman, I remember being, well, if they can nail, like, the tone and the look or whatever of that comic...
Yeah.
I am looking forward to this more than Superman.
Yeah, absolutely.
But again, this is
well. That's the thing as well. Like,
pretty
I think
disappointing.
When you think of the classic great superhero movies, you always go, okay, remember the scene where this happens. You know, whether it's Captain America, Winter Soldier, where he's fighting all the guys in the elevator, or he's fighting the helicopter, or, you know, the...
Yeah, what are the great action set pieces from this?
Like, even in Superman, and, you know, I think opinion was also divided on Superman, but you've got him fighting the giant monster with an Injustice Gang. He's fighting himself. There's the Protonic Stream River thing, yeah, you know, in the pocket dimension.
He yells at Lex Luthor, and then a dog mauls him. There's like stuff like that. There's the moment in Superman, I've watched this clip again and again. It's just on YouTube. It's just Lois Lane sitting down and interviewing Superman.
Yep.
And she like pushes him and pushes him and pushes him.
And then he snaps.
Until he snaps.
Yeah.
And it just very clearly is like, I did this because people were dying. And yeah, what the fuck else am I supposed to do?
And what I like about the scene is
there's
well,
nothing like that in here.
He's not scary in it. He's just he's reached the end of his rope, and the end of his rope is him being, stop being mean to me, which is very Superman. And I think there's probably like a, maybe there's in deleted scenes of this, I bet they cut out some of the relationship stuff or the bonding between Ruthie and Kara.
Yeah.
And that's in the deleted scenes that we just never got around
to.
But I don't think there's a moment in this where there might be like, there's a funny bit, like I'll spoil this for the.
Let's do spoilers.
Okay, and you say, what are you saying? Best movie ever?
Yeah, but barely, and as an adaptation, really disappointing. I can't stress that enough.
Yeah. There's a moment in this where Kara and Lobo, they're not really teaming up, but they're both fighting the brigands at the same time.
Yeah.
And Lobo looks at her and goes, you're that ditz from the bar. And she goes, that's funny, that's what I've been calling you.
Mm.
That's a funny joke. That's a good joke. But it's also, it's led off from the bit where, like, she pretends to be just like a tourist from Earth.
Yeah.
And shouldn't she be like...
I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, it's strange.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. But and also in that moment, I believe she has her current powers.
Yes, exactly.
So she could at least be like...
She could at least fly. She can't fly away.
She could take a punch from Lobo easily.
He just ends up in jail later.
Yeah.
Like, so how...
Mm, yeah.
I don't know, man.
I don't know, but like what's the... I think there were maybe a few iconic hits and punches or something from this, but like what jumps out at you?
Yeah,
from...
I remember a bit where... there's a bit where Supergirl like grabs Cream... Yeah. And just fucking bodies him.
Oh, yeah.
Over about 200 meters.
It's sort of the Hulk beating up Loki, like thumping him into the ground.
That's pretty cool.
That was pretty fun, yeah.
And there's a moment where she kicks a guy in the head. That's pretty cool.
That is fun, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the thing, I think maybe it's, you know, when I was doing my big jokes earlier about Iron Man and how it's the same, how it's weirdly repetitive. It's weird she always keeps falling for the same stuff over and over. The problem with this movie is that her power levels are inconsistent even when non-powered versus powered. Mm. There's like, yeah, you're like, how would you be shot by multiple kryptonite arrows?
Yeah.
You'd just avoid them, wouldn't you? Although I feel like my one exception for that idea of like how can she fall for this sort of stuff, kryptonite seems to be different.
In this universe, you're
I'm like, you know how like people are like, how could Superman be shot by a kryptonite bullet? Mm. I kind of feel like maybe the justification is if a kryptonite bullet is coming at a Kryptonian, that already starts weakening their defenses, kind of thing.
Well, maybe they can't see it, so they don't.
Yeah, maybe
they don't move. I don't know. Yeah.
But like, there's moments where she's like catching a spear out of midair, super fast, or what have you, and it's like there doesn't seem to be that much consistency between.
Also, she can just fly up and de-kryptonite herself.
I guess
she wanted to, but she doesn't for a bit.
That's true.
Yeah. In terms of spoilers, there's a moment which there's a particular song use at the end.
Oh, yes.
In a battle montage.
Which I believe was a last minute thing.
Apparently they went through 45 songs and it was James Gunn's decision to do this cover of Jimmy Eat World's...
The Middle. So and here's the thing as well. So what's weird about it is because her soundtrack, and she's got kind of a... Guardians of the Galaxy-esque soundtrack that she's bringing with her is like punk rock, like 80s punk rock, and kind of like
Blondie, but not really, just in the trailer.
Yeah, that's right. And then at the pivotal action moment, we get this twee cover of this.
So strange.
And it's, you know what would have maybe fixed the setup? And I understand they didn't do this because it's too late in the game. Imagine if there was a scene, there was a flashback sequence on Earth where Superman's like, "Hey, Kara, I know you love rockin' punk rock. Here's a cool rockin' song for your playlist." And it was Jimmy Eat World's The Middle.
Yeah.
And she's like, "Oh, Clark, you're such a normie. This sucks. This is bad." And then later you see she becomes herself. She becomes good. And then this song, the Twee cover comes on. You'd be like, okay.
You're saying put a reason in for this song.
Put a reason in for the song is what I'm saying. And I guess.
Yeah, I don't think it's the song itself.
No.
Yeah, that's.
But also, you could just do that with any song. If you put the scene in where Superman recommends a dumb song that he thinks is cool and is not cool, you could just.
Yep.
Then put anything in.
Totally.
And regardless, you'd be like, this song sucks, Clark. You suck.
And, you know, it's about everything being all right and whatever.
Yeah.
So I guess that's the point.
They could have put All Right by Supergrass in there.
They could have.
Or Boys Light Up by Australian Crawl.
They could have.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah. So I've got a few things.
Horses by Darryl Braithwaite.
Like, they could have.
Because of that horse. She doesn't ride.
She doesn't have a horse.
Last week we mentioned maybe a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned the TV series Ponies, which I was watching. That got cancelled.
It did, yeah.
And you mentioned the Australian singer Darryl Braithwaite. He's no longer touring. He retired.
Yeah.
So.
There we go.
We did it.
This is an Easter egg.
We did it, folks.
This is an Easter egg.
This is an Easter egg.
There's a few things that they changed from the comic, which I think are for the worse. For a minor, which I haven't talked about yet, because they're in spoilers. One is that Crypto gets poisoned at the start. That happens in the comic.
Yes.
And so Supergirl's reason for going with Ruthie is because she wants to get the antidote. And also that happens over months. This happens over like 3 days.
Uh-huh.
In the comic, Supergirl eventually reveals that Crypto was
fine
months ago.
Yeah.
And
she got the antidote from a veterinarian or
something.
She figured it out, but she's just going along because she wanted
to do good.
She wanted to guide Ruthie through this situation. She didn't need to. She's Supergirl. She didn't need.
And she also wanted to guide her choices and morality. Whereas at the end of this, she does have a moment with Cream. Where she goes, if you kill this guy, then you're going to let revenge, blah, 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 take over you. And I know what that feels like. And then Supergirl just stabs him.
Correct.
And in the comic, Supergirl
puts him in the Phantom Zone.
Puts him in the Phantom Zone. He comes out like
for hundreds of years.
Like 300 years later, and he's really remorseful.
Yeah.
And Ruthie's a very old woman and just kind of bops him on the head and he falls over.
Yes.
And he's not dead. So it's like she has moved on and lived this wonderful life, but she's still like, I don't forgive you for this. I don't have to.
Yeah.
But also I'm not going to kill you. Yeah. Whereas this felt really, I don't know. It felt like Supergirl kills, right? And Superman also kills. We know that. But it felt really, I don't know, like out of character.
Interesting.
But also she'd killed a bunch of people prior. So it's also like, well, why not just kill this guy? I guess who cares?
Mm.
Yeah.
And also I think because there's a moment where she kills Cream and Lobo is looking at it from a distance.
Yeah, weird. And he's like, yeah.
I think they probably just want to set up like a future thing where he's like, we're the same, you and I, kind of thing, you know.
Probably.
So maybe there's that.
But why not put him in the Phantom Zone or something?
Because it's too many things.
Yeah.
I think they wanted a very straightforward down the line. We start at A and we end up at C or whatever.
Mm.
Also, I mean, similarly, because there's... So in the comic book, there, as we've mentioned, at one point, Cream, he's got a little sphere. It's like a magic device.
Yeah.
I can't remember how you make a big sacrifice and
if you throw it at
and it's a ball of magic, and if you throw it at somebody, it can send someone somewhere else. And because obviously he can't stop Supergirl physically, so he hits her with this magic sphere, and she ends up on a planet. It's an entire the bit of it is, and I believe it's new for the comic book, but it's a solar system that years ago was manufactured by some villains to kill Superman,
and he'd been there before.
And was it a blue sun or
I think it was still a green sun because it's green kryptonite radiation.
And it's a manufactured solar system that was designed to kill Superman, And the backstory is, and the story that Superman told Supergirl was that he was there for 45 minutes and he nearly died, but then the Justice League showed up and rescued him. And in this sequence, she's thrown there and there's nobody to rescue her, and she has to survive hours and hours and hours before the sun sets and she can escape. But will she die? And there's lots of murderous fauna, big dragon creatures, I think. And so Ruthie has to protect her, and they learn about each other and what have you, and Supergirl is tenacious enough that she survives a thing that not even Superman could survive, and then she manages to escape. So what they've done here is they've sort of truncated this by saying that the brigands live on a planet that is between two suns, a green sun and a yellow sun, and she gets passage on some pirate ship, and they take her there, and then as soon as she gets there, she realizes the sun is green, and she's going to lose her powers and she's going to die. But she doesn't. But in the comic book, she gets teleported there without any foreknowledge.
Yeah.
But in this, they put a bag on her head, which she can see through.
I mean, I guess they don't know that. But yeah, but you're saying as in like she should have seen.
She would have been like, "Oh, there's a green sun. This is a trick." And then I'll just take over the ship like I was easily, and then I'll
go to the other side of the planet.
So what happens is she just goes into a cave until the yellow sun comes up, and then she's back to normal.
Yeah.
But there's also it feels like a situation where that would be a good timer to set, because this is the final battle where you'd be like, well, when's the green sun going to come up again?
Mm.
You know, she could be like, okay, not only do I have to rescue Ruthie and get the antidote and do all this sort of stuff, if I don't do it in 45 minutes, the green sun's going to come up and I'm going to die.
Yeah.
But that doesn't come up again.
No, it doesn't.
They're just like, well, it's yellow sun time. Let's go.
It's yellow sun day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Also, apparently it was James Gunn's idea to end with Krem's death.
Okay.
Krem, sorry.
Thank you.
So, and there was no other logical conclusion, and they didn't shoot a backup. It was like, this is what we're
doing.
See,
that's the thing. I think the reason that they didn't do the magic sphere thing and the reason they didn't do the Phantom Zone thing is because they are additional layers of dimensions and...
I think that's fine.
Yeah,
I mean, they don't even explain why Supergirl comes to Earth late. They didn't feel the need to explain.
No.
Which is, again, it's fine.
But I think they just went, okay, well, this is meant to be an A to B space adventure. Yeah. If we do, if she gets thrown into another, if she gets hit with a ball of energy and she ends up in another place, people are like, is she still in the universe? Is she in another universe? Blah, blah, blah. Or if you put Krem in the Phantom Zone, people will be like, okay, well, what's the deal there? That seems a little complicated.
Well, also, if you were like, well, Supergirl was late to Earth because she was in the Phantom Zone, you introduce it there and then you reintroduce it later.
Well, they didn't.
No, they didn't.
Yeah.
Anyway, Superman is also in
it. If only they'd introduce the Phantom Zone in any other Superman media.
I know, right?
All of them. Including the last Supergirl TV series.
The post-credits.
They did.
The post-credits, this was initially going to be, so she goes back to Earth and speaks to Superman.
It would be nice if she took Ruthie to Earth.
I agree.
Yeah.
But they do it here.
Maybe they did. I don't know.
They probably did. Maybe. But they did. That's now the ending of the movie, and she goes and talks to Clark.
Yeah.
Or Superman. Just a flat ass looking scene as well. You know, is that his apartment or is it her apartment? Like,
that's his apartment because it's the one where you see him putting his boots on.
It looks worse though.
Well,
yeah.
Maybe he remodeled.
Anyway, it just feels really additional, and I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've got some reviews here from people who wrote to the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates.
You know what I like? The scene that I like.
Unless you have an additional scene that you like.
Well, there's the additional scene. Thank you for asking. The additional scene that I liked is when she's talking to her mother who's dying on Argo City and she's like, you've got to be good.
Yeah.
You don't have to be nice. You don't have to be, you know.
I agree.
You don't have to you can be argumentative.
You can kick someone in the head.
You can kick somebody right in the head. You can drag somebody across a desert or whatever, but you've got to be good. And I thought that was fun.
I agree.
And then at the end, Superman's like, hey, well, you got to wear this suit because then you'll be good.
Mm.
I thought that was nice.
Yeah. She's like, I killed a man with a sword.
Oh, that's fine, I guess. I've killed people. I just don't tell anybody about it. I'm Superman, but I kill people. I kill a customer.
Superman does kill people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We've talked about it before. I'm okay with it, depending on how it's written.
Those guys I put in the Phantom Zone, I killed them later. I killed them later. Yeah. I kicked one of them off a cliff or whatever.
I think you'll find in the British TV version of that show, they were alive and arrested at the end.
Oh, that's right.
So I think you'll find.
They just got a regular jail. They got a regular county jail.
Anyway, in terms of reviews, Darren says, it's fine at best. Millie Alcock is incredible and I can't wait to see more of her. But if you're going to adapt Woman of Tomorrow, why not go all the way and adapt Woman of Tomorrow? Mm. Why do Cliff Notes version?
Agreed. But also, again, like we said, I'm glad they're making that movie now. I'm glad that isn't a maybe,
mm-hmm.
because otherwise we'd never see her in like...
Yeah.
I suspect this... I'm sure there's... I bet there's a Marvel movie where these characters have been introduced in their own stuff and they're just fine. And then later you go, oh, you know what? I liked... Here's some damning with faint praise. Iron Fist is way better in the subsequent stuff than he is in his own show.
I think you could look at, and I want to talk about.
When they finally put him in Defenders and he was in the later seasons of Luke Cage, came into his own. I think that was good. And he's coming back, I think.
He is, yeah. And there's
But if they'd never done that, you'd be like, well, this is just terrible. This is just a couple of seasons of a terrible show where he's an idiot.
I wanted to talk about this in the future in particular, but yeah, like an example of that would be like The Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
A movie that didn't do super well, but then the character goes on.
There we
on
go, that's
whatever.
Perfect, yeah. Yeah.
Joe says, best movie ever. This is what Man of Steel should have been. Kara's flawed character who has to deal with the dark side of life, but there is always an inherent feeling
dark
of hope
side
in the movie.
Of
yes.
life.
James says, I hate to say this, but a little bit underwhelmed with this one. I was ready to love it, expecting another Guardians of the Galaxy, but after getting home, I'm struggling to think of a single memorable moment that isn't just a cool shot we saw in the trailers.
There it is, yeah.
Maisie says, great work, Maisie, by the way.
Oh, yes, Maisie.
Edits videos, moderates Planet Broadcasting Grey Mates Group, does a bunch of incredible stuff. Movie was all right. Good, she killed him. Which, again, I don't even hate. Well, I talked about it.
Yeah, but I
hated the slow Jimmy at World Cup.
I think it makes sense in this version of it, because it's like she feels like her life is already. Supergirl feels like her life is already over and ruined to some degree.
Totally.
But then.
I understand the choice. Yeah, I just don't.
But also, that when you think about it, also, what ideally would what happen in this universe, in this storyline, it should be like she'd start out with the idea of like, who cares about anything?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to get drunk. But by the time she's gotten to the end of the saga, when she's spent time with Ruthie, she could potentially be like, no, I'm not just going to kill people willy-nilly and ruin my life, because life is worth living or whatever.
Mm.
I'm going to take you to county jail, Cream. You're going to have to pay a fine to get out. Strength of 1,000 men. Shut up.
Yeah, that's the thing. Also, in the comic, Cream, I mentioned this, but he's remorseful.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I'm evil. Yeah. And then he is.
Yeah, yeah.
Nick says, I enjoyed it and liked a lot of parts of it. Millie is great. Not a perfect movie. Pretty bland. Bad guy, although he was a bad man.
Mm.
Jessica says, sure, I didn't love it, but I still enjoy it nonetheless. Millie is amazing. My mom was fun as Lobo. The plot and action were both fun. A solid enough, not perfect adaptation of the amazing comic, but still a decent adaptation and a fun movie. Best movie ever for me.
There it is.
So, yeah, I think that in that group, it's overall, I would say, skewing positive.
I think so too, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, in terms of the future, people
and like us, we are skewing positive.
We're skewing positive and we're the best.
Thank you. We are the best. You punctuated that with a big dramatic point. We are the best.
We are the best.
Yeah.
So people are like, well, is the DCU over, second movie out of the gate, and people aren't seeing it, it's a flop and whatever.
I think you're forgetting about season 2 of Creature Commandos.
Exactly.
Which will be out any minute now.
And Peacemaker and whatever.
Clayface.
Clayface. Lanterns.
Will make its money back.
Yeah.
You would hope.
Probably. But I think one or two movies can turn this around. People remember the last thing. Okay, so an example of this, and you mentioned it, Iron Man, massive hit, made $585 million. People loved it. The next one was The Incredible Hulk.
Yes.
And if you remember that, it was less well-received. It made a lot less money. It, like, barely broke even. Then after that,
Edward Norton was rude behind the scenes.
He was rude behind the scenes to Louis Leterrier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then it was Iron Man 2, which was a big hit, but again, people were like, it's
I didn't
fine.
Like it so much, yeah. It's all right.
Thor did pretty well. Captain America did pretty well. And then it was The Avengers.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that, they just look to the MCU and this is what it'll be.
Yeah, because it's not replicable ever
absolutely
again.
Absolutely not. Yeah. But what I am saying is that this is not necessarily the end of anything.
No.
I think if Man of Tomorrow comes out and people like it like they did Superman,
then they could do Supergirl Woman of Tomorrow.
Exactly.
And they could adapt that book that people like. They could adapt that. That'd be perfect.
It would be.
Yeah.
I also think this is a completely different era of comic book movies, and making an okay movie, it's not going to get people.
Yeah.
People aren't going to see this because I'm not going to recommend this to people. I'll be like, if you want to see it on streaming.
I'll probably recommend it.
Who would you recommend it to me?
No, you've seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My son, he saw it with me and he was like, yeah, it's all right.
All right, great.
Like, it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess this is the key. When he left the cinema, was he like, oh, I liked the bit where this happened?
No.
Then that's a shame.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
Exactly.
Because there should always be one of those where kids are like, yeah.
I like the bit.
I like when Lobo let off all those hand grenades and killed all those men.
I like that bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty good.
He's always talking about bits that he liked.
Yeah.
I'll ask him.
Okay.
I'll say after this.
Okay.
Name a bit that you like.
Mason demands you choose a bit you liked. You can't escape this.
Yeah. All right, should we move to the next segment of the show?
Let's move it along.
What is it?
It's what we're reading.
What is it?
What are we going to read?
What is it?
What are we reading? What are we going to read?
I'm sorry.
God, listen.
Yeah, no, I wasn't listening.
Okay.
I'm doing a thing. This is a great time for us to share with us what we've been watching, reading, listening to.
And that's a great sentence.
It is. That's right.
Mm.
Can you explain to me?
Yes.
Your comings and goings?
No, I won't. It's none of your damn business.
Can you give me a hint?
My life is my own.
Okay.
But I'll tell you this at some point.
Oh, you're always tracking like mud into my house, so I know you're up to something.
I'm doing muddy stuff.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. Mm. I watched the movie Normal.
Normal? Yeah, what's this one?
So Normal,
that's what's his name, isn't it?
It's what's his name.
Bob Odenkirk.
It's starring Bob Odenkirk. It's directed by Ben Wheatley.
yeah.
who people will know from, he did, I think his best movie is probably High Rise, which is Tom Hiddleston is in that High Rise in the 70s. Remember that movie?
I haven't seen
it. He also did that movie Free Fire, which is Brie Larson and Cillian Murphy and a bunch of other people who are not Oscar winners in a warehouse shooting at each other.
Is that good or something?
I quite like it.
Have I seen that or something? You might feel have like I've seen it.
I waited literally years to watch that until it was free on a streaming service. All I'm right. like, I don't think this is going to be good enough to watch for money.
Okay.
Oh,
it's got Armie Hammer.
What? Oh, yeah, it does too. I forgot about that.
Oh, that's why you like it so much.
Yeah, no, Pre-Iggy got cancelled.
You're allowed to watch something with Armie Hammer, Mason. No one's going to judge you
I don't know, man.
For hashtagging about a Man of Uncle sequel.
For watching Citizen Vigilante. Yeah,
I know about it.
Yeah. But what's his name? Uwe Boll.
Yeah.
Good movie. But I watch Normal. So this movie is from a screenplay by Bob Odenkirk and Derek Kolstad, who's a name I didn't recognize, but he was one of the creators of John Wick.
Oh.
But I guess he didn't direct it, or he did. He wrote on the first two,
Too
I
many
think.
People are claiming that they right, exactly. John Wick.
You think we could? You think we could get
yeah.
in there? Yeah, I think so.
It was us and Eva Longoria who
yeah, that we,
made John
we kicked
Wick.
In the money.
That's right.
She kicked in some amount of money, and we kicked in some
we
amount of money.
We wicked in some money.
We wicked in some money. Mm. So basically, Bob Odenkirk plays a cop who has moved to this town called Normal, which is like...
But he's actually a shape-shifting robot.
No, he's normal also.
No!
But he's a regular man, but robot. He's moved there to be the interim sheriff
mm-hmm.
because the previous sheriff had some sort of mishap. He got drunk and he went out into the cold and the snow and he died.
Oh.
And so he's just filling in until they elect a new sheriff.
Oh.
But then, and it's a normal, as the name would suggest, it's a very boring town. It's all snowed in, but then... And nothing really happens. And then a couple of...
Sounds great,
yeah,
Mason.
So a couple of people from out of... This couple from out of town, they need money and they're like, we're going to rob the bank. So they're going to rob the bank and they want to get into the vault. And at that point...
This doesn't sound very normal.
Doesn't sound normal at all. And then at that point, everything goes off the rails and it turns out the town is full of secrets. And if you're like, this sounds like Hot Fuzz, yes. It's just Hot Fuzz again.
And is it good?
No. I like Bob Odenkirk.
Is it funny? Like Hot Fuzz is really funny?
No, it's not funny like Hot Fuzz is really funny.
Hot Fuzz is really funny.
I can only imagine Edgar Wright watching this and going, not so easy now, is it?
Yeah.
Not so easy now to make Hot Fuzz, is it? Ben Wheatley, who I presumably know quite well and
damn.
Am friends with. No, it's not as funny, but it's the same thing of like town with secrets and everybody's in on the secret.
Okay, it's Ben Wheatley. And, yeah, he's English. Okay.
Yeah, and then it's kind of like, yeah, and it's, but it's, I mean... It is American Hot Fuzz. I guess Bob Odenkirk and Derek Kolstad went, we need an American Hot Fuzz.
That's certainly, we've been saying that for years.
We've been saying that for years. Just do another one, but not as good.
Yeah.
I wish it were great, but it's not.
No, that's a shame.
Fun cast. Odenkirk.
Good action.
Lena Headey's in it for a minute. Mm-hmm. Henry Winkler is the mayor of the town, which is kind of fun.
I like Henry Winkler.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. He was the Fonz, wasn't he? Wasn't he the Fonz?
He was the Fonz.
For years?
He was the Fonz and his Atom Smasher's dad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Damn, happy
the
days.
The original Atom Smasher.
Yes, I
that
remember.
Is Happy Days. Good.
What?
Happy Days?
Nah, man.
Okay.
I don't think so. It's pretty Dark Days, if anything.
That's
if
true.
If you're having a good time, you're not paying attention, mate. Let me tell you that. I wasn't going to talk about this, but I recently rewatched The Running Man.
Yep.
The new one.
Yes.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Except for the
they
last
didn't do
like
9/11.
20 minutes.
The consensus is it's pretty good except for they didn't do 9/11
I think
at the end.
I said this at the time. I think it's better than the original movie.
Yeah.
And yeah,
agreed.
I like it.
But
I
again,
think it's great.
The problem is, and again, it's they put themselves in an impossible position where they went.
Should we do a 9/11?
Yeah. But they put themselves in the impossible position of remake a movie that everybody considers a classic. Even though they haven't watched it in a decade.
I was going to say, nobody's watched The Running Man in a really long time.
Yeah, it's not... It's not.
It's all right.
It's not, but it's not top-tier Schwarzenegger,
no, it's
really.
Definitely
no,
definitely not. He's got that onesie, and that's interesting.
That's true.
And he gets in that jet car.
Yeah.
And he fights a guy who has a hologram AI face.
Yes.
In both versions.
Yes.
Yeah. But what I did watch... Oh, sorry, do you want to keep talking about Normal?
Just watch Hot Fuzz again. That would be my recommendation, is watch Hot Fuzz, because it's a great movie.
Should I watch the movie Paul? About the alien, which also has Simon Pegg and Nick Frost.
I don't think you have to watch that. No.
Ah.
Are you considering watching Harry Potter because it's got Nick Frost in it?
The new Harry Potter?
Yes.
It's the only reason I'm going to watch it.
Don't watch it, James.
Actually, I'm also going to watch it because I love Harry Potter.
You don't love Harry Potter?
No, sorry. I misspoke. I love the idea of rebooting Harry Potter. I cannot wait.
Great.
And I support this.
Okay. jokes, folks.
No.
We make jokes.
No, we've never, not this time. This
oh my
serious.
God, you're right. We've never made jokes. We forgot. We forgot to make jokes for 10 years. It's all right. It's
yeah.
Nah, don't worry about it.
All right, but okay.
Honestly,
normal.
It's a shame. I wish it were.
Yeah, well, I really went the way you described it.
It received generally positive reviews from critics, according to Wikipedia. Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
I think during the writing process, somebody should have said, you're just writing Hot Fuzz again.
Yeah.
So it'd better be better action and more fun than Hot Fuzz. But
absolutely.
It's a shame.
They are, I'm just seeing if they're, so.
Yes.
Right, they have worked together, Edgar Wright and him.
Oh, Ben Wheatley.
Yeah, the Greg Wright's produced at least one of his movies and
okay, then.
Know each other from other things. Sightseers right. from 2012 or something.
Okay.
Yeah, so there you go.
All right. Interesting.
Did at least that. I watched.
I'm going to do a quick Twitter and see if Edgar Wright has had anything to say about Normal.
Well, I hope so.
I'm just going to.
Did you talk about the new Harry Potter TV show?
No.
Did he say that he's looking forward to as much as I am?
I'm going
to
tweet. I'm going to look.
You're going to tweet at Edgar Wright.
No, I'm going to search Edgar Wright Normal and see what happens.
All right.
Nothing.
Well, but you're using the Twitter search function, right?
I'm using the very good Twitter search function.
It's a very good search function and it really works.
Yes.
Hang on.
Anyway, what have you been watching?
I'm just looking because he's got, I'm just looking on his Instagram.
You're looking for dirt.
I'm seeing what Edgar Wright has been up to. Mm-hmm.
The Running Man.
I've seen The Running Man. I watched it recently.
Yeah, me too.
Again.
Me too.
It's mostly Running Man stuff, actually. Mm. Okay, so I watched St. Louis DTF.
Oh,
HBO.
With did you watch it with Justin Bateman? Did you watch it with Justin Bateman?
I would have Mason, but actually, I don't know anything about him.
Yes,
you couldn't even.
Couldn't even.
You're literally drooling.
Yeah, I know, right? I couldn't wait. I could not wait.
So it's Jason Bateman, David Harbour.
I couldn't wait, and I ruined the entire setup.
Linda Cardellini.
Oh, great, terrific.
So it's about sort of – Jason Bateman plays a weatherman. David Harbour plays his –
Weather?
No, he plays the sign language interpreter.
Okay.
For him. Linda Cardellini plays David Harbour's partner, who was also having an affair with Jason Bateman.
Ooh, it's a real triangle. Okay.
And initially I'm like, oh, this is going to be like – underworld neighborhood sleazy kind of creepy
okay.
sex stuff. And there's right. a little bit of that, but okay. what it really is...
So what stopped you from switching it off if it wasn't that creepy stuff?
But what it really is,
yes.
it's more about love and friendship and specifically male friendship
Ooh.
And the relationship between Jason Bateman and David Harbour's character
okay.
who are just looking, in particular David Harbour's character, who used to be quite a fit and attractive man. And now he's, you know, he's got a bit schlubby in his older okay. age. And also he wears a bodysuit in this because he's,
okay,
he's
right.
slim now. I don't know
okay,
what he's doing.
Yeah. Well, I bet he would have been fit for Thunderbolts maybe.
Yeah, I mean he got really thin for Stranger Things.
Oh, that's right.
I don't know
did,
if he's
yeah.
that.
Yeah, right.
That because that was very, very thin. But it's about their relationship and also in particular David Harbour's just looking to be loved mm-hmm. and accepted.
Right.
And not in a general like public way, but just uh-huh. in his interpersonal relationships
yeah,
and
yeah,
about
yeah.
him. And because Linda Cardellini has a son from a previous relationship and it's his relationship with him as well.
Right, okay.
So it's not
a real blended family.
It's not so much, it's not what I thought it was at all.
Is it funny?
In moments, yeah,
okay.
but it's very low key.
It's a dramedy.
It's a dramedy, and there is a murder mystery element to it.
Whoa,
which revealed
okay.
early on, which isn't as straightforward.
Now what's the DTF part? Because that's what you say on a.
Well, there's
on
an app that's called St. Louis DTF, and it's
right.
for people who are looking to cheat on their partner.
Oh,
so
I see, right.
That's the idea.
Do you remember there was that website and it was like.
Oh, the one that got leaked?
Yeah, and it was
yeah.
like. Because it was like, here's a website to cheat on your partner or whatever. And it turned out like 99% of
yeah,
the
it was
people
all men.
It was, were men, and everybody else was fake.
And everybody got doxxed.
Everybody got doxxed, yeah.
Yeah, pretty good.
That's fun. So actually. Because last week I mentioned the show Maximum Pleasure Guaranteed.
Yeah, which I'm up to date on.
You like it?
It's great.
Yeah. See, that's the – for me it was a toss-up between should I watch that show or should I watch DTF St. Louis. I'm like,
yes.
okay, you know. Because they're both thematic – they have elements similar, seemingly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Oh, this is – that's more kind of – more a direct kind of crime.
And it's more a thriller, yeah.
Yeah, whereas this is kind of less of that. But what St. Louis DTF has – or DTF St. Louis, if I
yes.
said this wrong, whatever it is – it's got two detectives. Richard Jenkins plays a detective who's like an old school detective who doesn't understand the you know, kind of the underbelly of society and how people
oh, yeah.
cheat on their spouses and neighborhoods and whatever
right,
other
right,
stuff
right,
going
right.
on. And Joyce
and the apps.
And the apps, exactly. Mm-hmm. And Joyce Sunday's a special crime officer and they work together and she's younger and kind of more across it.
Right.
And it's those two working together, interviewing people, using their own kind of methods to uncover what's happening.
Fun.
And they're a great pairing.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, I would recommend this.
Nice.
You're going to see some dongs and stuff, just so you know.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. That's interesting.
That is very interesting. And crooked dongs.
Huh.
Crooked as the day is long.
So normal.
Yeah. It's normal. Yeah.
Yep. That's good.
Like a boomerang. Yeah.
Yeah, great. Well, I'll watch that show after, of course, I watch episode 2 of Sugar, which is out.
People are loving episode 2. Of sugar and sugar in general. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, great.
Everyone's on the sugar train toot.
Yeah, hell yeah, brother.
Look out, Cavity City.
Yeah. I believe somebody finally did ask Colin Farrell about the twist, and he was like, yeah, some people are mixed on it. Yeah, we know. We know.
Did you know that we're doing it, Colin Farrell? I don't think he did.
No.
Anyway,
no.
Should we do some letters?
It's time for letters.
God, we need a theme. We need a theme.
Oh, here it is. I just wrote this now, and I'm performing it live.
What?
Yeah.
How?
I'm doing a tweet cover of it.
Okay.
Here it is. We're going to hear right now. We're going to do letters.
I don't like it.
Everything's going to be all right.
What was that?
Tom Carty came up.
All right. Yeah. Mason, if you do want to reach the show, it's as simple as this. No, we don't do that anymore.
No.
Weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com.
That's
send
right.
a concise letter
yes.
with paragraphs to Nick Mason.
Yes.
Or go to the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates group, and there is a link. A thread every week you can put a thing in and then
that's
ask
right.
a question and whatever.
Speaking of questions.
Questions.
Here's an email.
Is Quickstiver back?
Here's an email from Quickstiver.
Hell yeah.
He actually emailed this last week, but it got lost in the Gmail
of
search.
Of course it did. It
engine.
Always does.
He's emailed in because a couple of weeks ago he emailed in with Quickstiver's quick questions.
Yep.
He's emailed in to say, will do my duty. Hello, Quickstiver here again, doing my duty under duress, I might add. You briefly talked about serialized commercials in the last episode. I was thinking of Ktut.
What?
Ktut. Google Ktut really
How
quickly.
How do you spell that?
K-E-T-U-T. Ktut.
Yep. Okay.
They had a romance or something. Ktut and another lady. I've forgotten already.
Oh, yeah. I don't know this.
What's it called again?
Amy characters?
Yes, for the Amy insurance. Yes.
Don't know this, man.
Anyway, you briefly talked about serialized commercials last episode. I wanted to give a quick shout out to the Swedish ICA commercials. ICA is one of Sweden's biggest supermarket chains, and their commercials have been running since November 29th, 2001.
Oh.
They hold the world record for the longest running television advertising drama with over 1,000 episodes. My quick questions are, can I sue you guys if you don't read my letter, or does the lawsuit thing only work one way?
It's one way.
Yeah, but you can sue
us. You can
us.
Sue us.
Yeah, that's it.
It doesn't work the other way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's alternating weeks.
Yeah, it is. That's right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Lots of love, Quickstiver.
Thanks, Quickstiver. From
Quickstiver's questions.
Quickstiver's questions. He's back.
It's interesting.
I'm glad we hired this guy. He's good.
Me too. Is this the way the world is going? Just like interpersonal dramas in ads for insurance or whatever?
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess it is, yeah.
I hope since 2001, apparently.
Since 2001.
We talked about this a bit last week, Mason, but Juan says, do you think Marvel leaked those scenes from Doomsday deliberately to create online buzz, or is this Mason's fault? I think it's...
No, because I don't know. There wasn't even that much buzz, honestly. Maybe maybe only from where I'm sitting.
And again, because they're outsourcing a lot of
Ivory Tower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're outsourcing all the special effects to like...
Yeah,
Third World nations to do.
I guess every once in a while there'll be either something that hasn't been watermarked and they're like, just chuck it out there.
Yeah.
Or somebody's stupid enough to be like, I will get fired for this.
Absolutely.
I'll get fired and sued for this. Here we go.
I love that.
Great. I'll be famous.
Yeah.
It must be somebody making that miscalculation. They'll be like, I will get famous for this.
This is how.
Yeah.
Nobody else has ever been famous from this, but
everybody,
I will be famous.
People sure will be discussing the events of the movie Doomsday, but I'll be at the forefront. I'll be interviewed. They'll give me free stuff.
Yep.
I'll get tickets to the premiere. Kevin Feige will give me one of his hats.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. He'll take the hat right off his head.
Doesn't he wear a hat under his hat?
Yeah.
It's a bandana.
That's exactly right.
Like John Travolta wears in the movie Wild Hogs.
It's one of Axl Rose's bandanas.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's right.
Doesn't that guy look strange?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
There should be a trailer for that soon, right?
Yeah, I'd hope so, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe next week.
I'd be like, you remember this?
Yep.
Well, yen.
There's also been rumors that I was nearly put it in news, but it happens all the time. Of like, is there going to be a third Avengers movie? Is there going to be Secret Wars Part 1 and 2?
Oh, well, maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't care.
Okay. And it's just cut footage from the previous two.
Whatever.
No sequence, whatever.
Yeah.
There's a voiceover, maybe.
It's like that Anchorman sequel, remember, that they made?
Yes.
Not the actual Anchorman sequel, but the off-cut stuff.
That's right, yeah.
What else you got, Mason?
It's from Alex. Who says, Leonardo DiCaprio's famous advice to young and up-and-coming actors is not to do superhero movies. I think it was no hard drugs, no superhero movies, if I recall. He told that to Timothy Chalamet. My question is, if you had to pick Leonardo DiCaprio to play one superhero, which character do you think he should play? I think he would be a great plastic man. My wife, Carmen, thinks she should play none. P.S. She's one of the few spouses that hate you, apparently. So that's good.
Whoa.
There's more than a few.
Hate us or don't hate us?
Hate us.
All right.
There's more than a few.
Hell yeah, that's great. We've met some.
I think he should maybe play somebody in the vein of a spider-noir.
Like okay. Maybe an older... Well, that's done. They well, did I mean, it already,
in
mate.
The vein of, James.
What about a Richard Rider?
Nova?
Yeah.
Yeah, mate.
Old Nova.
Old Nova. I think he would have to be a guy who he's not doing the physical action stuff.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know if we'd buy that necessarily.
Mm.
When was the last time he was doing big physical action sequences?
The Revenant. Blood Diamonds.
Yeah.
Catching him Inception. If you can. Inception, that's true. He was running What's around.
Well, did he do or not? Did he do any jumping around in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
A little bit. More acting than jumping. Oh, he does kill someone with a flamethrower, I guess.
He does kill someone with a flamethrower.
Yeah.
I reckon somebody like... You're bringing him in with somebody, a smaller role with some gravitas. Make him the Phantom Stranger or the Spectre or something.
Oh, okay, like an old school
Like an old school
of,
guy, you know?
Yeah, okay, I like that idea, yeah. Because now he's kind of like old Hollywood.
Yeah.
But he likes young Hollywood, if you know what I mean.
Because what you need him to...
If you know what I mean.
You bring him in because of his young girlfriends.
Yes.
You bring him in...
One battle after another? Is that action-ish? Does he do action?
He's doing some running.
He tries to charge his phone.
He does fall off that roof. He does fall off that roof. Actually, that's fun. I reckon you bring him in for a smaller role with some to bring the gravitas, and you get people going, how'd they get him?
Yeah.
How'd they get him
to bring to the gravitas.
Exactly.
Yeah. Leonardo to bring the gravitas, they call it.
That's what they would say in the cinemas. They would stand up and they would say that. That's Leonardo to bring it a gravitas, they would say.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah, I think you bring him in as a guy who's – or even like a guy who is not – Like maybe the character used to wear a costume. This brand is poison now, but you could bring him in as the original Sandman, Wesley Dodds suit and a trench coat and the gas mask guy. I think that would work. And he's like a supporter.
Do you think he'd be a good The Shadow?
Yeah.
Mm.
I think
he's a rich playboy kind of. Maybe
you bring him in for the DCU and you just say he's Wesley Dodds.
Yeah.
Because then he's not the Sandman because of the
How would you feel
crimes,
about him
The alleged crimes.
Yeah. How would you feel about being him like an original Ted Kord or something like that?
That could work too. Yeah.
I like the idea of him being the original of something, like an older version of...
Mentor type character,
I think you're on the right track.
Or Robin.
Robin. You like... I think you're on it with Spider-Man Noir, but again, that's already a being...
Yeah,
I don't even know why you recommended it.
I didn't think
it.
Why. I'm stupid.
Has
he ever been...
He was nearly Spider-Man.
That's it, yeah.
In the 90s, I should say. Yeah.
Yes.
Nick says,
yes.
What's the last time a movie made you feel something? Well, Supergirl did make me feel some things in the Krypton stuff.
Uh-huh.
I recently watched We Live in Time. Have you seen that with Andrew Garfield and Florence Pugh? No, they were busy that day. But have you seen that movie?
I have seen it. It's good.
It's great.
It's
really good.
Good.
Yeah. Those two together. Also, speaking of, he's in the Faraway Tree movie.
Oh, yeah.
Which is great also. Uh-huh. That's only
His
just...
hair's gone wild.
He's going out of control.
Yeah.
I love Andrew Garfield. And Florence Pugh's great. And I think, who's in Faraway Tree? Claire Foy, isn't it, as well?
Claire Foy, yeah. She was the queen, maybe.
She was the queen, maybe, for a minute.
Or Diana, I don't know.
No, she was the queen, you're right.
She was the queen, okay, right.
Yeah, I think Elizabeth Debicki was Diana.
She was Diana, that's true.
Yeah.
Too tall.
Diana was tall.
Was she?
Yeah, she was like 5... No, she was 6'10".
That's not true. That's not true.
I think she was like 5'11".
That's true. I mean, maybe at one point she was 6'10".
Said she was 5'10".
Okay, that is quite tall.
Yeah.
What are we talking about? I've forgotten.
Well, We Live in Time is great. If
We Live in Time, yep.
It's told out of sequence and about a couple and how they meet and have a child and one of them gets sick, and it's also about their dreams and whatever.
But
it's not told.
That's a good movie.
Linearly, it's well worth checking
The
out.
Substance also.
Oh, that definitely made me feel
something. You don't have to feel him. When you feel something in a movie, it doesn't have to be like sad and emotional.
Yeah.
But like, I saw that movie, and again, it's the vibe, you know, you see it with a festival or whatever, and I'm like, this is movies.
I love movies.
Ah, this is crazy. You know what I mean?
Toy Story 5, did that make you feel anything?
I felt bloody, I'm bum sore in this seat because this movie's going so long.
Oh my.
Just kidding, I like that movie.
God.
But I didn't feel anything. I felt nothing. Except when Buzz was a drone.
Sure, yeah. That was
I was like, he's a drone.
Did you feel anything during the Michael Jackson movie?
I didn't see that.
Sorry, did you feel anything while I was describing to you how much I hated the Michael Jackson movie?
I felt disgust. I just felt disgust. There must be a recent movie that I'm like,
He-Man.
No.
Disclosure Day.
No.
Spider-Noir.
I bet.
The Mandalorian versus Grogu.
No, none of those.
The Punisher One Last Kill. Just going through episodes.
No.
Mortal Kombat 2.
None of these, but all.
The Ballers Boys
Finale. If you went, I bet there's a review where I'm like, this is it. Movies are back, baby.
Yeah.
You know. But I don't
The remember. Drama?
That's it. Yep. That was
that
a good
made me
one.
Feel.
That was good. Yep.
Did you feel anything during the Super Mario Galaxy movie?
No. No.
Did you feel anything for the Moana live action trailer?
Which no.
is, people apparently don't know is coming out?
No.
Okay.
Is that also not going to do well? That would be astounding.
It seems like it's not, but yeah, we'll see.
Wow.
Early freaking days on that one, my friend.
Yeah.
My bloody. Yeah. Got another one, Mason?
Here's an email from Sam.
All right, we'll do one more from Sam.
Hello. James recently said he did his biggest deadlift ever.
Yep.
How big was it, and does he think he's a big man?
I do think I'm a big man. But what was it? It was, I weigh a bit under 70 kilos. I weigh 69. That's what I weigh. I don't weigh very much.
Interesting.
But I was
busy that day.
I didn't ask. But yeah, I was 155.
Okay. Yeah. Is that good?
Yeah, it's pretty good, I guess. But
and like, as to the second question?
I do feel like a big man.
There we go.
It's not the best deadlift in the world, okay. But it's pretty solid.
Now, what's a deadlift?
It's where you pick
is
up.
It the one where you go...
No, it's not that one. It's where you pick up a weight from the floor, and then you put it down again.
Okay, the big long one.
You lift
weight.
It to, like, the your
oh,
waist.
Oh, not bad.
And a regular bar. Use okay. a mixed grip, Mason. Don't do...
And you lift with your back.
Yeah. Back or your neck.
Lower back and your neck. So yeah. One weight on each,
yeah.
Ideally. Lengthwise.
Lengthwise, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Right.
It's also something you can really fuck up your back if you do it incorrectly.
Okay.
So I try to not... Wrench my back doing that.
Yeah, don't wrench your back.
Yeah, cool. Quentin says,
ooh.
What's Claire up to recently? I don't know. No, I do know.
She's getting that doc. She's got a
She's
documentary.
Got a documentary, and it's, so it's nearly...
It's finished filming,
it's finished,
I think.
It's finished filming. It's going to be finished next week. It's about matrescence.
Yep.
You probably will be able to see it because it is being... It seems like it's going to get shopped around to like major streamers.
Uh-huh.
So it's a very good chance that it will be available. And she's probably going to tour it around and other bits and pieces. And from what I've seen of it, which
oh,
is
yes.
a lot of it, it's great. And you could also see it.
I could see it.
You could see it, Mason. So that's what she's up to, among other things.
Yeah.
But,
you're not barred from seeing it.
No.
No. Matrescence is for everyone.
That's right.
That's what I say.
Yes. When is it going to be a mentrescence for men?
Nice.
There
nice.
Is. It's called patrescence.
Oh.
Yeah. Ask okay. me about it.
Is it good?
I don't know, Mason.
All
this
right.
is not my area.
Wow.
I can't believe you brought this up.
It could
Quentin
be.
Brought this
you,
up.
Could, you could film a competing documentary really quickly. Let's knock it out.
Mentrescence for men.
Mentrescence for men. That's right. And we could sell a fragrance as well.
That's right.
Yeah.
For men.
For men.
Yeah.
Men only. I got two more
anyway,
emails.
It's awesome. I'm,
nice.
She's doing great work.
I got two more emails, James. This one's from Dylan.
Yeah.
Who says, Ian McKellen just watched me in a play.
I Whoa, felt, that would have been awful.
Yeah. Oh, scary. Long-time listener of the pod. Thanks heaps for what you do every week.
No, we don't mind.
Just this week, I was acting in a play in Wellington, New Zealand, and who would be in the audience but bloody Sir Ian McKellen.
Oh, my God.
Presumably here filming The Hunt for Golem.
Yeah.
He spent his Saturday night at my local independent theatre watching the original play I was performing in. I couldn't just stare at him as I was acting on stage, but I got a glimpse of him and thought, that old guy looks like Ian McKellen. It was. I didn't get to speak to him after the show, but my fun fact to share is that he used a little pair of those opera binoculars to watch the show in this small 70-seat theatre. Feels pretty cool that he watched me perform, and maybe he can get me casted to play young Gandalf in a young Sheldon-like spin-off show. Have you ever encountered a celebrity in an unexpected place?
I was at a restaurant not long ago and Jeffrey Rush was there.
Jeffrey Rush!
Notorious. Alleged.
Yeah, he's done some
it's
stuff.
Be,
alleged.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Allegedly.
You look like shit.
That's great.
Was allegedly.
This, was this in the Camberwell Q area?
No, it was like down like Mornington Peninsula way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Guess he's on the run. Allegedly.
For things that he did allegedly. But no, I didn't speak to him.
Okay.
But, yeah. You know, he was I guess he still is. He's been in some good stuff, but yeah. Allegedly
he's
other
allegedly
things.
Allegedly other things, yes.
Notoriously litigious as well.
That's right.
Yeah.
What
about you?
Don't see many celebrities.
Mm.
Let me think.
I saw a known Australian comedian recently.
Oh, yes.
Who's been on a bit of a tear.
Bit of a tear. Yeah, you say.
And he
okay.
was all doing that, but okay. like on stage. And I was like, oh, this is fun.
Naming no names, did he say you were a great crowd, never forget that? Did he say that?
I don't think he said
that's
that.
That's interesting. You know, well, he always says that.
Really?
I guess he had some other stuff to say.
He had a lot of things to say.
That's great.
Anyway, it was,
that's great.
Look, wasn't a great set, whoever this was.
I guess I see a lot of comedians that I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True. And you consider me famous, don't you?
Yeah, famous idiot. Asshole. Dumbass. Famous at that. Famous at those.
You didn't
things.
Have to say any of that.
Well, I did. I chose to say it.
Have you got another?
I said it quietly, but now I'm emboldened.
Have you got another?
I got one more email, James. It's an email from Tyler. Hey, boyos. I haven't seen Supergirl yet, but with all the fuss. Yeah, that's true. With all the fuss being made about its box office, I saw something that said that the only two DC movies to make a profit in this decade have been Superman and The Batman.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder what DC could do that would be an immediate and guaranteed financial success. Personally, I do genuinely think a crossover between Robert Pattinson's Batman and David Cronenberg's Superman would be an easy billion-dollar movie.
Yeah.
Regardless of the fact that the studio head doesn't want to do it.
I mean, I don't even know if that's true. Mm. I think there's a very good chance still that they'll turn around and just mash them together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think guaranteed profit here is probably Clayface because it's cheap.
It's cheaper and people are loving substance like gooey, sticky
gooey,
stuff.
Gooey men and gooey gals.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, I mean, I think it would blow people's minds if in the in Man of Tomorrow post-credit sequence or even final act,
yeah,
Pattinson shows up. And he's got the Twilight sparkly chest. Put him in the Batman bat suit.
Yeah.
But make it blue and gray with the turn the logo gold. Mm-hmm. Like same setup. Give it or slight. I think if you just go, okay, here's the Batman continuity.
Yeah.
And it was years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why
he's
got the makeshift stuff.
Yeah.
And then modernize the suit, make it more streamlined, make it more DCU and be like, this is where he is now.
Yeah.
I think people would get that immediately.
He'd cut his hair.
And I think he'd cut his hair, exactly.
He's not as greasy.
Yeah. I think people would be like, ah. Like if he showed up in the final battle of the Man of Tomorrow, people would be like, ah, you got to see this on YouTube. You got to see this on YouTube. You got to watch the cam version on YouTube. Ah. This is disgusting. And they're on their phone buying 10 more tickets to the next show. And,
one empty popcorn bucket, please.
Yeah.
I think it's – I mean, they have an established Batman that people like. I know we've talked about it. They'd be – there's no doubt I feel like this is an ongoing conversation. Yeah.
And I also think the Batman is a heightened enough universe.
Yeah, man.
It doesn't – it's not – that universe is not real life. It's
filmed in front of the volume for one.
It's not just the Dark Knight universe where it's just Chicago or whatever.
Yeah.
It's weird Gotham. Like it would be perfect next door to Metropolis. You know what I mean? Wotham.
Yeah.
Wotham.
Is that the show?
That is the show. Folks, thank you so much for listening.
God.
We absolutely appreciate
thank God.
It.
You reckon this show's too long sometimes?
Sometimes. Ooh, look at this.
Oh my God.
Ugh.
Ugh.
Blah. Blah. 10 more tickets to the podcast. Thank you for telling your friends about the podcast because that is how we get new listeners. And thank you for leaving a 5-star review on your podcast app of choice. James will find it. He'll do some digging and he'll read it out right now.
I'll do one right now. It's from Dig/S.
Okay.
That's like sarcasm?
Oh, yes.
From Australia, who says, it's all right. It's all right.
Thanks, man.
And Penelope Q from the USA says, I should look forward to Monday mornings thanks to the Weekly Planet. James and Meso keep me alert as I giggle my way through my morning commute. I love listening to them talk about their favorite fandoms just as much as stuff I'd never, ever watch. Without question, my all-time favorite podcast.
Nice.
We've done it.
Stay alert. Be alert.
That's right.
That's right. Folks, if you want to get into contact with us, you go to weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com.
Okay.
Or you can go to the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group.
Okay.
Or Weekly Planet Podcast subreddit and Discord for fun civil chats about podcasts and pop culture. Thank you to Maisie, Sarabi, Fidel. They moderate those forums. They make videos for the Weekly Planet Clips channel and the Weekly Planet TikTok and for some of our bonus content.
Oh, yeah.
Having a great time over there.
Oh,
if you want to follow some people on the socials, you'll follow our friend Rob Collings. He's at Raw Collings on Twitter. He's at The Weekly Planet on Twitter. He keeps you up to date on all things The Weekly Planet. You can follow me on Twitter, Wikipedia Brown, Instagram, Nick Meso, James is Mr. Sunday Movies
everywhere.
If you want to support the show, you go to patreon.com/weeklyplanet. You chuck in.
No, it's Mr. Sunday Movies.
Oh, it is Mr. Sunday Movies. Yeah. Who's got the Weekly Planet? I don't know.
I don't
even know what I'm thinking.
Don't go there.
Yeah.
Let me check who's got
Don't go there. Go to, in fact, to patreon.com/MrSundayMovies, chuck in a buck or a different amount, and you get all sorts of different bonuses and things, early videos and whatnot. Or you can go to BigSandwich.com.
No one's got it. Ooh. There's an opportunity to do some scams if you're interested.
If anybody wants to do some scams.
If you're interested.
Everybody's wallets are open.
That's right.
You can go to BigSandwich.co for 9 US dollars per month. Bonus podcast, early videos, video game let's plays.
Mm-hmm. Oh, speaking of, there's we played the official X-Men game, which is out now.
Oh, yeah.
If you're listening to this.
Mm-hmm.
It's set between X-Men 2 and X-Men 3, and Alan Cumming's returns as Nightcrawler in it.
He's in the video.
He's in the video.
We get a cameo from that
He goes, hello, darlings, and he comes in, and he was fabulous.
Fabulous.
Let me just say.
Fabulous.
Yeah. Shit at the game, by the way.
Yeah, terrible.
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 I was showing him how to do it.
And we deleted all that footage.
Yeah.
No good.
Yeah.
Mm. Thank you to the Brute and the Basilisk and Rackham for all our musical themes. If you want a t-shirt, you go to tpublic.com.
No problem.
Search for the Weekly Planet.
Easy.
Or Weekly Planet posters.
I'd love to.
You'll find a t-shirt. Mm. It's stupid. And we have fun with it. Next week, a different thing. What is it?
I don't know, actually.
We've got something coming up.
Maybe there'll be a Wuthering Heights movie.
Maybe.
Is it Wuthering Heights or Wuthering Heights?
You're thinking of Werther's Originals.
Hey, I got a question for you. This is unrelated.
Oh, it's Minions.
Yeah.
I'm not, yeah.
Yeah, Minions.
Yeah, Minions.
Do you want to do,
yes,
for Caravan of Garbage, do you want to do 6 Resident Evil movies in a row?
Yeah, kind of.
6 weeks of Resident Evil.
Yeah, kind of. I do actually. Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
We'll regret that.
Death of Robin Hood.
Yeah, we could do that. It's supposed to be all right.
Leviticus, which is spooky,
oh,
spooky Australian
yeah,
movie
I do
again.
I see that as well. Yeah.
Interesting.
It's spooky in Australia.
Spooky in Australia. Anyway, I'll figure something out.
Yeah.
There's probably something, a TV show or something.
It's always a TV show.
We can just talk about stuff.
Yeah.
Be like, hey, everybody, let's rap about it.
Yep.
Stuff, current events, let's rap about it.
Yep.
You know, turn our chairs around.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball caps, turn them around.
That's right.
Time to rap about stuff. You know?
Do you consider Teenage Dirtbag by Wheatus a rap song?
No.
Okay.
All right, goodbye, everyone. Grab that jam, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Some people do.
No, nobody does.
Some people have.
Not even people in Wheatus think that.